Josh, remember a few weeks ago at my house we got high?
Yeah.
And things went a little too far? Well, I'm late.
What do you mean, late?
I mean, I'm late.
Well, what are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Oh, Joe. My God, this is not happening. This
sometimes,
happen.
I can't panicky feelings can hit you long after you're done smoking pot.
Here starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to. You're gone. Don't call me again.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, who that dang old internet, man? You just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com, and you got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Richie Cunningham, and this is my wife, Oprah.
My name is Number Two. This is my Italian confidential secretary. Her name is Alana. Alana Pisani.
Hey, it's a lady.
What say you, Donald? Michael, what say you? If I have leprosy, I want me to be the only one that has it. You go right ahead and make out in front of my 3-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting, they call me Three Putt Buck.
That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf course. You know, those things push up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device here. He licked his balls clean. What say you, Donald? Michael, what say you? I'm going to be in a porno movie. You know, I'm going to sleep with Trixie tonight. What's going to stop me from coming in with a load of heroin, setting up a little stand, and selling it to anybody who wants to come through?
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
Now listen, to all you men here with wives or girlfriends or sisters or mothers, yes, I did sex them up a little bit.
Well,
wait a second, there's something else I want to say. And in most cases, it was really good.
Son, Didn't you ever give anybody anything just for the pleasure of it? Just, you know, something you didn't want anything in return for?
Sure. Just yesterday I gave my friend Jimmy something.
Now that's fine. What'd you get?
A sock in the head.
I meant charity.
I didn't charge him nothing.
I meant something for the joy of giving.
I enjoyed it.
this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. What the hell's going on here?
He's left, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do?
I thought we were almost finished.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Boy, this is ponderous, man. Ponderous. Ponderous. Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. 2.
Fantastic.
We're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he likes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuckles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo damn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but damn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a damn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a damn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. It's a god last damn time. I want somebody to use his f***ing brain to not come out of a damn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a f***ing dog dying.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem, and I got to tell you, I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike Mara.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know good fellow book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Don, I'm sick of looking at them.
Where were these guys when I was sitting through that client meeting today?
I hate them.
Oh, that's right. They were on the other end of the phone.
In a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith. A man of faith and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. 26 times. And all the ships at sea. They will make your ovaries rock hard always.
Yes.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show. A new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday's day.
April 9-3rd. Phone number from America, 877-365-3636. Don't call from Canada. 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. Your phone number.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi. Welcome.
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 Someone called for a doctor?
Welcome.
I'm going to use one.
Welcome.
Someone called for a doctor?
And hi.
Yeah.
So that's how you do it.
There, that's tighter. That's tighter than the nun.
Boy, oh boy.
Huh?
You missed it, Mike.
Well, I'm not doing the... I hesitate because I don't want to give too much information. I'm not doing the commercial.
It was a client meeting today.
Yay!
That, before I do that, let me mention this. There's a reason I'm wearing my fancy dress-up clothes.
You're wearing your auctioneer outfit.
Yeah. Nice. Tonight... I'll be out at the Orange Ball, 430 Hungerford Drive in Rockville, with former Redskin, former Eagle, current Giant, Brian Mitchell, or as his friends call him, B-Mitch.
B-Mitch is having his big event tonight.
With players from all over the NFL, all in the name of charity, to honor Brian Mitchell, good friend of our show and of the 2003 NFL Unsung Hero Award. He won an award for being the Unsung Hero. Play pool with NFL stars like Donovan McNabb, Deuce Daly, Art Monk.
Nice!
Rig Dog Walker. I'll be playing the Madden 2003 game against Challengers, and there is a live auction. I will be your celebrity auctioneer.
Cool. Should be a fun event.
Gravel door prizes, etc. It's all for charity. You got to be 21. It's $50. That gets you a buffet, two drinks, and you get to play pool. Got to be 21. Place only holds 700 people. I imagine it's a sellout already. If you're interested, it's www.brianmitchellfoundation.org or to RISVIP.
RISVIP.
Call 866-968-8426. My wife thinks this constitutes a night out.
Oh, good.
So she will be she will be on my arm.
She will be all duded up, too?
Tonight. And you know me, I'm a jock sniffer.
Yeah.
I'll be there with my head between Donovan McNabb's legs.
Yeah,
and
you'll have a good time in football. And, you know, it's a long time before the beginning of the NFL season, so this gives you a chance to, you know, really relive and look forward to the next season.
And, frankly, I like being an auctioneer. I won't be using that style tonight at Brian Mitchell's charity auction.
No,
you do a different. I kind of try to approximate that when I do an auction. I've done so many of them, and you do it in a much. You have a different style. You cajole.
I will.
You browbeat.
I'll pick people out of the crowd who I know have got a, as the kids say, the bling.
The bling, yeah. And you just focus on that.
I'll finally just say, you know, like for instance, if Mike was there, I'd say, Mike, I know you can afford it.
That word.
They want to start the bidding at $500. Let me just sell it right now to Mike O'Mara for charity.
That's when I turn around and I look over my shoulder like you're not speaking with
me. For $1,000. And then I'll get the room to turn and say, all right, now come on, Mike O'Mara won't give $1,000 to the Brian Mitchell Charity Fund?
And that's when I excuse myself and go to the bathroom.
So anyway, see you there tonight in Rockville. Have a full report on tomorrow's episode. I plan on using that approach at the auction tonight. That was the same approach that I was forced to use during a client meeting today.
Yay!
I hate client meetings. I really do, and I know you hate them, too.
I do.
Part of the deal is, I know, you know, when we said we signed a deal with the devil with our new contract, part of the deal is that we would do more live commercials and, you know, at no charge. And that if there was a client that would like to speak to us about the, you know, the benefits of the product, that we would sit through a client meeting.
Ouch.
Well, as it turns out, I'm not going to mention the client.
Okay.
But I was on one of these client meetings today. As it turns out, this was the meeting before the meeting. And I was lucky enough, I was coming back from getting my hair cut, so it was on the telephone.
Right.
But even on the telephone.
On a cell phone?
Yeah, it sucked because you had Julie, our sales manager, and...
lovely Julie, very nice lady.
She's wonderful. And whoever the dim-witted account executive is, I forget her name. What's her name?
Teresa.
Teresa, right. And you got a guy, I think, in Houston... Who is like the president of the company? Of the,
you don't want to say the meaning
of the product. No, I don't. Cause you'll hear the commercial soon enough.
There you go.
And
gives it away.
And then there's a lady in Boston who's right. Like the media person in all of this.
God, a lot of chefs.
And they're saying to me as we were going through, "Do you have the binder?" And I said, "No, I'm driving my car." They said, "Well, don't you have the binder?" And then you hear it ruffling in the on the other end, and you hear on the speakerphone from back here at the station, you hear Julie say, "We've got the binder here, but Don is in his car right now. We'll show it to him as soon as he gets here."
Yeah.
So finally, after hearing about how they did this great sales job with some disc jockey in San Diego.
Oh, God, I hate that.
That you know, they tried out this approach with personality commercials, and it really worked in San Diego, and now they're going to try it in Washington,
all right,
and in Philadelphia and some other cities we broadcast to. Here's where they officially lost me. I went along. I even, a couple of times, just made bold-faced lies. Said, I love the product.
That's all right. Advertising.
It's not got no problem with that. They're an advertiser. I read it, and, you know, more power to them. Thanks for advertising.
We love our advertisers.
Of course, it's what keeps us going. They said, okay, great, it was wonderful, and I'm thinking we're winding this up, and I'm looking at my cell phone, and I'm now into 16 minutes of this conversation, of which all I've been doing is pretty much saying, then they said, we're going to be in Washington in a couple of weeks. Great. And what we're going to do, we have three stations that we've handpicked that we think can deliver results. And we kept saying this, hopefully approaching the level of the San Diego station.
Pressure, expectations.
So I said, "That's I got no problem. I'd love to meet you face to face. I'm still playing along."
Well, you know, we know a contract and we honor a contract.
So the guy says, "Okay, so we'll get all the disc jockeys together and we'll meet you all at the same time." And I said, and that's when I broke in and I said, "Now, I don't want to be a bad guy here, but I think it's probably bad for you as the
disc jockeys from other stations."
Yeah, it's bad for you as the consumer if you have a pitch meeting where you're like talking about what you want the disc jockeys to say, if you have me in with the other disc jockeys, because I guarantee that I'll come on the radio that day and I'll just talk about what idiots the other disc jockeys are.
Exactly.
And one of them said, well, why would you do that? And I said, well, that's, you know, and again, let's just say, thanks to our sales staff for explaining what the show's about.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we do a lifestyle-oriented show. And then I started...
I love that when you say lifestyle. You say that all the time to people.
I gave them the whole thing. I said, Mike and I, our thing is the three R's, the ratings, revenue, and rock and roll. And we've never had a client be unhappy. I promise you, whatever numbers you got in San Diego, we'll do better.
Sure.
And they said, that's really great, but you really need to go to the meeting and look at the binder. And
God,
it was at that point that I said, and I believe I called her honey, the woman from Boston. I said, honey, you could be selling bags of S.
Oh, no.
And I used the S word. I said, you could be selling bags of and I guarantee people would buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I do good commercials.
Right.
I guarantee. And she took up. She said, "Well, I take umbrage at that our product is not what you." I said, "I was speaking generic."
Oh no, they're focused on the product.
It doesn't really matter what the product is.
Right.
But I'm telling you, if you one day decided that you did want to sell bags of excrement,
we'd be your guys.
We could sell it. And it was at that time that Julie, the sales manager, said, "Well, Don, thank you very much for your participation in this phone call. Thank you for your..." like at that point, they just want to
get
me...
"We're going to get you off the phone now. Goodbye."
They want to get me the F out of there.
When you say... how do you describe the show again?
It's lifestyle-oriented.
Lifestyle. Do you say that to people like, you know, that you meet at parties and stuff? Do you say it's a lifestyle-oriented show?
How else do you describe it?
Impressive. I did it. Well, when I played in my golf tournament and I got asked that question. If I got asked once, it was 40 different times. I say, "Shock talk, high sexual content."
I care as much. Lifestyle is easier.
Yeah. You see, but here, if you, I only say that to guys. When you say it to a guy, you get the same reaction every time. It's like, you know, every guy, 70-year-old guy, react the same as a 20-year-old guy when you say, "Shock talk, heavy, high sexual content." And they go, ha, 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 ha.
Well, but it was a client.
Yeah, client, you have to say. But see, I want to copy that for, like, when I have to be politically correct, which I might have to be this weekend.
Say lifestyle.
But it's what, lifestyle-oriented?
Lifestyle-oriented. And I said, well, the show's about our lives, which is something that can't be duplicated,
right?
Which is why you really shouldn't put me in a room with Ira Melvin from Oldies 100, because I'll just talk about what a big old fart he is.
So they extricated you from the situation.
Yeah, and then when I came up to the station, I came upstairs, and you were there when they came in, and they were like, "Oh, thank you." Yeah, the sales ladies. Thank you. Yeah, thank. In essence, what they were saying, what was...
Well, it's your commercial, and they didn't want to have anything to do with me, and I was just amused at the whole dynamic, and I was doing what I always do, you know, trying to make it as pleasant a situation as possible, and I think Julie appreciated that, and I think Teresa... Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't think Teresa liked it when the client sent some stuff, like a little, like a diary.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Thank you very much. I hope you're not offended by this." I just leaned over and threw it in the trash. And she said, "Oh, you threw it in the trash." Yeah, right.
Julie got it out of the trash.
Did she really?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, because she gave it to Jag. I think she gave it to Jag. I think Jag's got dogs.
I don't know. They were talking. I was walking by when
be
you.
Be careful, you're giving away what the prophet's
too many clues. Oh, God.
Be careful. Be very careful.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
They're a big time sponsor. They're gonna drop like six figures.
Well, they're a great sponsor, is what they are.
The best.
The best I know.
What do you bet after this last conversation where you said you would sell bags of S to McWilliams' choline fertilizer company?
Hi there.
I think I got a good idea. They're going to sell bags of S.
Hello, Compro. This is Tim McWilliams. You know, spring's just around the corner. And furthermore, I didn't even mind lying when the woman asked me how long I'd been using the product.
Uh-huh.
And I said, since December.
Very good. That's nice. That sounds good.
Because around December is the time that they told us, or I guess they told me that they wanted...
Yeah, this is your deal, Wade.
That they wanted live commercials, mm-hmm. right? So I thought I was giving the right answer. They came upstairs and she said, here's gift certificates for the product, but I guess you've been using it since December? I said, no. I thought that's what I was supposed to say because I was told that... And I knew that if I said I hadn't been using the product,
mm-hmm.
that I would have gotten even more spiel about
exactly
the product. But really, any advertiser out there, here's the message I have for you. We will deliver results. Our listeners are great. They listen to our commercials. They buy our product.
Well, we advocate the Super Bowl method of selling products.
Which is
you don't have to give us all the details about the products. We take whatever the product is, and in your case, you'll take whatever the product is, and you create something funny.
You'll be helping me, though. You see, it's a two-person spot, even though the product is based on
your situation,
on my situation.
You'll be color me offended then. Then I'm completely. Who's in charge?
I don't know.
I don't know. He's talking to me about this effing product.
I was always told from day one that
I thought that this was you. Like it's when they wanted me to sell that thing, that tooth
thing? No. This is the whole
what
thing.
What the hell? Then this is all a CF.
Without saying, but see, I can't tell you the name of the product. But
no, but it's not. But this is the first.
No, you're close though.
Okay,
it's a competitor.
I
that.
See. Okay.
And
I thought we're doing two man spots.
Yeah, but you're just like there to help me out. Where I talk about how great the product is because I'm using it all the time.
This is because of the new contract, right?
Yeah, right. That we do live spots. And this was one that I know Alan had talked to us about this spot way back in December.
Hi.
I guess you don't remember that. It was one of the days when we came in and we said we don't do live spots. And then, like 2 weeks later, he signed the contract. And
yeah, we do them now, but I didn't know that. All right.
Anyway.
Whatever.
It was an awful. I don't wish that upon anybody, a bad client meeting. And I gotta meet with them again, although I got a system now. When they actually come here to meet with me, I said, all I really need is a page with like bullet points.
That's right.
Just tell me what it is, what it does, and I promise we'll sell it. I've already got it set up with Charlie. 10 minutes into the meeting, there's going to be an emergency phone call.
Very good.
I'm gonna be pulled out of the,
I'm not gonna be offended if I don't have to go to the meeting.
Oh, no.
I don't have to go to the meeting?
No, as a matter of fact, I would consider...
Well, I feel bad. I mean, because normally we've done that before. You and I have gone to these client meetings, and I feel, you know, when you're doing one of your programming things, which you enjoy, really, which is what you dig, that's a different story. With this, I feel like I'm leaving you out to dry. I mean, if I'm going to be part of this,
without getting deeply into what happened...
Especially now that I'm, wearing some of the clothing.
The salespeople really sold me out on this. They really sold me out.
Not
on
our
this.
Salespeople.
Yeah, our salespeople. They really sold me out on this.
Well, this wouldn't happen if Deborah Dean was still here.
Right, well, we'll see you at her farewell Botox party.
Mm-hmm.
How great was it to see that statue going down today in Baghdad?
Man, that's my favorite kind of... I love that kind of footage on the news. So nice to see that when we've been looking at all the other crap.
However, and we're going to try to bring you the bright moments of the war.
Good.
We're not going to dwell on, and today there's not a lot of negatives.
Fortunately.
Some people here at the station, I won't name names, Alan Limewine, thinks that the war is over.
So I guess Alan Limewine doesn't listen to Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld when he gives the briefing to say this is by no means over.
Right. Well, I believe Alan just had the TV muted and just saw the statue going and people...
Is Alan aware of the fact that there are cities within Iraq that we do not control yet?
Well, again, I believe Alan just had the TV muted and just was watching the replay over and over of the statue of Saddam going down.
Is Alan aware of the fact that there are many areas of Baghdad itself that we do not control yet?
He is now.
Good.
Two things. First,
When the Marine went up there and put the United States flag over the face of Saddam,
that's when I was sitting there going, you know, I mean, I completely understand. I think there was a great comment, maybe Britt Hume said it on Fox News. He said, it's within the Marines' DNA to want to wave the flag. But I was going, oh, my God, they're going to use this against us.
Here was my thought. Somebody, it might have been a general, it might have been W., somebody's watching on TV and got on the phone and said, you get on the phone right now and you tell that dumbass Marine to take the American flag off Saddam's head.
Wrong message.
That sends the message.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think you have to be an expert in foreign affairs to know what what Al Jazeera is going to do with that footage.
So then, and again, I don't know who comes up with this one. They hoist up the Iraqi flag and they put it on Saddam like it's a necktie.
Yeah, well, the Marine did that, too, because he was, I think, trying to, you know, show the Iraq that this is an Iraqi liberation.
Again,
he was doing whatever he was doing.
They're trying to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
But then, again, somebody, maybe it's W, maybe it's somebody calls and says, listen, not a real bright idea to drape the Iraqi flag on Saddam.
When you're going to pull down the statue.
When you're going to pull down the statue. So they climb back up again, and they take off. The original American flag is over the head of Saddam.
Right. They were just talking about the discipline and the professionalism of the forces that were occupying the center of Baghdad. In that they were not doing that. They were, you know, they were showing discipline. They were not waving the flag.
Well, they were caught up in the moment.
They were caught up in the moment, and I think it is so delightful to see our guys over there, putting their arms around kids and really being well received, and then when they finally helped the Iraqis,
well, and the Saddam,
bend the Gumby-like statue.
Hey, you stole my joke. God damn you. You stole my joke. I said that to you earlier today. He was Gumby.
I know.
Because it wouldn't break. It was just like Saddam a piece of licorice. You just kind of bent.
Then they split him open, and then he toppled.
Yeah.
And then I loved it when people got his head and tied ropes to it, and you have all these Iraqis running through the streets,
right,
with Saddam's metal head clanking behind them.
It was terrific. It was really, really great to finally have images like that. And man, I hope we see more of them. And I hope really that it really resonates throughout the Arab community. You know that we're in there really giving that country back to the people, and we're going to get the hell out as soon as we're done. Because that's another thing that I really thought the briefing that Rumsfeld gave today is probably the best he's ever been. I mean, he's a wonderful communicator anyway, but as far as the way he articulated it, you know, what we're going to do over there, we're going to give this country back to the people, and then we're going to go on because we're not about, you know, we're not about taking the wealth and all the things that have been said. And, you know, I really hope that also that we eventually find all that bad stuff that's supposed to be over there.
But what a great show today. For an hour and a half, watch him. First is the Iraqi guy, like the guy in the amusement park, who gets the hammer, and you got to hit the hammer to make the thing go ding.
Right.
There's a big guy, big muscly guy, and a wife beater with a sledgehammer, just going at the base of this statue, and he's not getting anywhere. Another guy climbs up and, like, hangs a noose around Saddam's neck.
Right. That guy with the sledgehammer was going to town. I mean, looks like he might do that for a living anyway.
And then there was a couple of other guys that tried, and they were barely making a dent. And then finally our Marines come up, and who knew that we have tanks that are the equivalent of Swiss Army knives?
Yeah, it's actually a tank retriever. That's what is it an MP3? Is that what the
MP3?
MP3 is
what
you listen to music on.
No, but it's an M. What is it, Buzz?
I don't remember. I'll look it up.
All I know is that it's like the Batmobile. They press a button in this.
I think it's an M3.
M3. Yeah,
this crane jobber comes out of the back, and well, first the rope breaks, the rope around Saddam's neck. So then they've got the rope around his ankles,
right,
and finally around his waist,
right,
and then they went up and they readjusted it around his head, and like Gumby, like I said, Gumby, he kind of just bent over, and then when they pulled him off all the way,
you saw why it bent, because coming out of the legs were these iron bars that they had, bars that they had sticking out of the base of the statue. And you know, for somebody who was, and I don't have any problem at all saying that I was I was anti-war before this thing started, and I'll tell you that it is refreshing to see the Iraqi people reacting there the way they are. And for people like me that were anti-war going into this thing, the more I see of that, the more I'm ready to stand up and say, man, I think I was wrong, and I think this is something that is really terrific to see,
Mike,
and I hope more people do that.
Shouldn't you really be saying that I was right?
I'm not going to go that far.
Kidding,
But it's just,
of course.
Every example you see, especially when you see, there was one father that was, he wasn't dressed like a lot of the Iraqis. He was like, actually dressed like a guy you would see at a golf resort, and he was an Iraqi guy, and he had both his children with him, and they were walking up, and they were shaking hands of our GIs, and it was really...
Were you like me, though? Were you wondering, what's Fred Durst thinking right now? What's Sheryl Crow thinking right now? What's George Clooney thinking right now?
Can I say something, without getting too heavy, can I say something else, too? And I've heard these news stories.
Please don't get heavy.
There is a backlash, that there is a worry in Hollywood that there's going to be a backlash and that these people are going to be blacklisted. I think that's BS, too. It's still the United States of America.
You can disagree
with anybody for anything, but I don't think you disagree about whether it was a good idea to go in there and still can't feel pride at the fact that our guys are over there getting high fives and that we really have, hopefully we have successfully liberated this country.
We'll talk about the blacklisting later in the news.
Yeah, that's BS too. I mean,
anyway,
who cares?
Anyway, you know? We pulled down the statue and the war's not over, and that's the war update. But
right.
it was great to see. Mike, let me very quickly, before we hit our first break here, mention that, every day this week on the show we're giving away a vacation to Las Vegas.
Vegas!
Now, today we're going to be playing a game. We have something special tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have noticed from the first moment that I mentioned we had these trips, thanks to Veramax, vacations to Las Vegas to give away every day, Mike has said, well, how about, some skin?
Mm-hmm.
So
nudity.
Tomorrow, keeping in mind that Mike has a Hugh Hefner thing going,
right,
and that it's Mike's dream to go to the Playboy Mansion.
I haven't heard anything more about that.
I want to tell you, tomorrow on the show, I'm just going to mention this now, the girls, you can win a trip to Las Vegas if you come down and audition to be in Mike's mansion. Now, the deal is this. You will come down.
It's a wonderful idea, incidentally.
You will come down and simply present yourself to Mike. You're in the studio. There will be no touching.
Right.
No feeling.
No, not at all.
Mike will simply be looking.
And I will be using my Hugh Hefner voice.
And when I ran this idea past Mike today, he said, great. I said, how about questions? And he said he would feel more comfortable perhaps if we, as a group, asked the questions. So Rob and I have some sample questions that the girls will be asked tomorrow.
Okay.
When they come down to present themselves. And incidentally, the girl that Mike decides is his...
So I'm the sole person who decides.
Unless you don't want that. Unless you want it to be a vote.
Give me more information.
Okay, well, here's the deal.
What is the deal? I mean, what is...
The girls will come down and present themselves to you.
Yes.
And let's say a girl just feels comfortable stripping down to her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If another girl comes down, decides to take her top off...
Right.
Even better.
Right.
Another girl decides to come down and simply get naked for you...
Yes.
I would think she would score more points.
Okay.
If she wants to get naked and...
All this competing for a trip to Las Vegas.
Doing some kind of gymnastics.
All this competing for a trip to Las Vegas.
If she wants to...
All this competing for a trip to Las Vegas. I would like to... I never get exercise editorial control.
Yeah.
But with you and your cohort back there, I'd love to see the questions.
I'm going to read you. I'm going to read you the questions we have now.
All of them?
All 15 questions.
15 questions, okay.
I don't think you'll have a problem with these questions.
All right, very good. It's always dangerous.
Now, girls, I'm telling you the questions now so you'll know in advance. You come down here to the station tomorrow. You present yourself to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You get as naked as you feel comfortable with.
Right.
And, I think the more nude, the better your chances of winning.
Right.
And then you'll be presented with the following questions. What's your first name, darling? That's question one.
Right.
Question two, where are you from? And that's followed with 2A, which is, now let's see you disrobe.
Now, once she's
Am I saying these things to the girls?
No.
You guys, you are.
We are. You are simply offering your half comments.
All right.
She's very lovely.
Once the women have disrobed as much as they're going to disrobe.
Right.
Number three is not really a question, it's a command.
Okay.
Give Mike a little spin.
Okay.
Not too fast now.
Right.
The number four. In your opinion, what's your best quality, little lady? Number five. What about yourself would you most like to change? Number six. Tell us some of your turn-ons.
Very good.
Number seven. Honey, what are your pesky turn-offs? Number eight. Would you like to do a little posing for Mike? Number nine. What qualities do you look for in a companion? I mean, we actually went through a Playboy to try to find the kind of dumb questions that they asked the centerfold girls. What qualities do you avoid in a man? Describe in detail your perfect evening.
Okay.
Tell us the craziest thing you've ever done. Honey, how do you feel about older men?
Very important question.
Yes. If you could change something to make the world better,
if the woman is 60,
what would it be?
What is the cutoff age for this competition?
No cutoff age.
There is, as usual, no cutoff age.
And finally, the one I think you're going to like the best. Tell us, in your own words and your own body language, if you so desire, why should you be chosen by Mike to win the trip to fabulous Las Vegas?
Very good.
And that's how simple it is.
And when we crown the winner, of course, I will say, congratulations, you get to stay in the mansion. And it's a fictitious mansion.
Of course.
I believe she will be...
They will not be staying in my home.
No, heaven does not.
She will be Miss...
Unless they're over 60.
She'll be Miss April. Hello, Don and Mike. She'll be forever known as Miss April.
I like
very
that.
Exciting.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, I know you're going for the Playboy and everything, but is Mike going to have his little laser pointer pointing
you
at...
You know, if you would like, I can probably bring a laser pointer in here and work with my colleagues, Buzz and Rob and Don, and point out, you know, that's a very lovely part right there.
It's
but what is a laser pointer in Hef? Does Hef use a laser pointer?
No. On the Steve reality show, Are You Hot? Lorenzo Lamas has his little laser pointer pointing at all the women's body parts.
I like the idea by the caller. I'd like to have a laser pointer.
Okay, Robbie, Mike needs a laser pointer. So, girls, tomorrow's just for girls. We'll be soliciting for Mike's mansion.
Would you like to visit the grotto?
Again, you got to come down. You got to get naked.
I might be smoking a pipe also.
And Mike, if you'd wear a robe.
I don't know if I'm
even better.
Robe, you know, just the pipe and stuff like
that. Well, I know, but I mean, you can wear like clothes on, or you wouldn't have to be like Buzz.
Oh, I understand.
Or PJs.
I understand. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
I think it's wonderful, and of course, it really staying in the mansion means you're going to Las Vegas.
Correct. So that's tomorrow. We're just throwing it out now.
May I make an appeal here?
We're gonna mention this again later in the show.
Hello, ladies. This is Mike. Would you like to audition to be in the mansion? Please come down.
Tomorrow.
Show yourself.
Hey, it's a lady. Tomorrow.
Very good.
Disrobe. Disrobe. And...
For me, of course.
Give Mike a little spin.
For Mike.
Nobody else will be enjoying that.
No, heavens no.
Well, you have asked for nudity.
Yeah.
You have asked.
Just me.
Just
you, right.
Mike. Not the rest of us.
Anything I can do to help all of your marriages is fine with me.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now. Win $1,000 with the secret sound. The secret sound is not Saddam's head being dragged through the streets of Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
Baghdad.
One night in Baghdad.
Be the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636. Got a shot at the money for you. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like food porn, Mary?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan. Great song.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Who would have thought it wasn't really about a dragon, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole
drug thing?
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to pop the magic dragon means they're really to smoke marijuana,
Joe.
Cigarette.
Joe.
Puff is just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Joe.
Are you a pothead, Parker?
No. No. What? No, 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 Jack. No, I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, grass?
No. Yes. No.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rest easy and know that every broadcast brings you one day closer to the peaceful, tranquil, eternal sleep of the dead. So enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Right, right, let's get a call 100. Then we give away some cash. $1,000. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I the 100th caller?
Yes, you are. And what's your name, my friend?
Henry.
Henry, hey, Hank, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hank. Nice.
Hey.
Nice. Nice. Hank.
Yeah.
Here you go, H-Man. You've won the 6 feet under prize pack. Get to know the Fishers. 6 feet under, the complete first season. You got it now on Vivid or Vicious. Don't miss the new season of 6 feet under. New episodes Sunday at 9, only on the HBO. Are you ready to All play right. for $1,000?
I'm ready.
Okay, it's a common, everyday sound, and it's not a briefcase, a stapler, or a door.
There you go.
Are ye ready?
I'm ready.
Play you the sound now. 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer till Mike sings like
De La Soul.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
Here it comes. There it is. Now, you know what? You may have stumped me on De La Soul.
Well, it stumps me.
Have you ever heard of it before?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Really? No, now you're talking to Mike, not you.
De La Soul is from the soul, and in fact, I can't deny it's strictly from the band called Stucky.
And from me, myself, and I.
Yeah! Yeah!
Thank you.
That is like speaking Arabic.
Mm-hmm. Might as well.
I knew it by heart.
For $1,000, what's the sound?
Opening of a can.
Oh. Wow, what an effort.
You be more specific, you dullard.
Opening the top of a soda can.
Is that brain hurting yet?
Oh, we're sorry.
No, sorry.
Well suited to agriculture, not so much for playing contest.
Don't forget that every guess is a clue for you.
My God.
Opening a can?
Yeah. Fine effort, though. Fine.
Well, that's not it, then, huh?
No.
Opening a soda can, like the old days, the way you used to open a soda can with the can opener.
No, that's not. Going through the tabloids real quick, there's a great picture of Kate Jackson, who used to be a piece of ass.
Charlie's
Angels. Yeah. And even on the show The Rookies,
right.
Where she was the wife,
mm-hmm.
She's having a battle with pain pills.
Uh-oh.
And God, you would think when you're taking pain pills, you'd look a little better than that.
Yeah, but they find that photograph. They camp out. It's like they wait at the foot of her bed.
Now
she looks like Tony Perkins.
There is also a great, great picture of J-Lo and cellulite.
Oh,
what they've done is they got J-Lo and Ben Affleck coming out of some nightclub somewhere in New York. And she's got on a short dress, and she's got on a mink coat, and you can see the cellulite. Before I show you the part where they made it even bigger, you can see the cottage cheese on the back of her legs. But, Mike, check it out where they, like, put a magnifying glass on it, and J-Lo...
Oh, they do the little red circle in the upper right-hand corner.
J-Lo has got some major, major... Leg/ass cottage cheese.
You know, normally I would say the star is tweaking it up a little bit, but that is serious non-doctoring, in my opinion, right there.
They are cruel.
They are. They find it. They pour over these photographs.
Now, if you'll look at the next one, I have some pictures that are not necessarily embarrassing, but they back up our theory that Matthew McConaughey is just the biggest douche on the planet.
I agree.
And again, they're not like the J-Lo photos. These are the J-Lo's in the star.
We have always believed that Matthew McConaughey is the kind of guy that really believes his own press and believes in the worst thing an actor can do in Hollywood. He believes that he is a pretty man. And when an actor in Hollywood believes that he's a pretty man, it's a very, very bad thing.
Mike, they have pictures of Matthew McConaughey simply taking a short break from shopping for his new home and eating a hot dog on the streets of New York. A series of four photos. They start with him putting ketchup on with, and incidentally, that's wrong. You don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
Hey, my daughter would disagree with
it. Well, children, it's
okay. You just put mustard.
Yeah, I guess you do outgrow it at a certain point.
Anyway, take a look at the four pictures in sequence and just see what an absolute king doofus he is. It's just Matthew McConaughey.
We just hate him. Under normal circumstances, these would be completely innocent. But because we hate him, it's like, hello, Ellie.
I need your tool.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
He's a client.
Well, Satan, how are you?
I just dropped by to say hi, Matthew McConaughey is a client.
How's it going? Long time no chat.
How else do you think you got the gig?
It's wonderful to see you again, Satan. How have you been?
I'm making a brief appearance, just a cameo.
Now, last time you were in here, you were wearing your whole Satan suit with your special red vest and your tail, and today you're going kind of cash. Are those Dockers shorts that you're wearing?
They are, and Mike, you'll notice I'm wearing a Boston Red Sox jersey.
Does that mean anything special, any significant, or are you just trying to tease me again?
They keep calling.
Yeah. And why don't you return their calls? Because you just want to torture me, isn't it?
I want to F you.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't want to F you.
If you did, you would.
Ow! 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 Stop it!
Anyway, hey, listen.
Yeah, what?
Both you douchebags. back off McConaughey.
You don't want us to pick on Matthew McConaughey anymore? And incidentally, how do you pronounce that name? Is it McGonaghy? Or is it McGonaghy?
Matthew McConaughey.
Now I hate the guy, and I hate watching him eat a hot dog too. I don't care if he's your client. You can't pick on me anymore. I don't like Matthew McConaughey.
Listen, I gotta go. I got a 4:15 with Lisa Marie Presley.
Hey, you take care, Satan.
I'm out.
Bye bye.
And I bring you.
There he goes.
I am the god of hellfire.
Thank you.
And I bring you.
He's waving. He's waving at the crowd.
Bye,
Satan. Nice Dockers. Satan looks good in those slacks. Yeah, and he's wearing that Red Sox cap just to make fun of me.
Matthew McConaughey has to be a guy, really, who has to deal with Satan. That he is absolutely talentless.
Wasn't it the movie?
It was the one with Jodie Foster where we hated him the most.
Contact, where it became official with
Ellie?
Matthew McConaughey.
And if you really, really want to put yourself through the ringer, try to sit through 10 minutes of The Wedding Planner.
Okay,
just
very good.
Oh, with J-Lo and her big cellulite legs.
Yeah, check it out in widescreen.
Now, you go to the Globe, and, first on the cover of the Globe, they have the American Idol Marine, you know, the guy in American Idol, I'll die for my country.
Who actually, we were talking about him just the other day, actually does look a little like Joe Rocket. Doesn't he have a resemblance to the young Joe Rocket?
With a haircut? Yeah. And American Idol. The fat guy's the winner, right? The fat black guy.
Ruben Studdard.
He's the winner.
Yeah, I like that. It's going to be between Ruben Studdard and that guy, the skinny, ugly kid, Clay Aiken.
Simon, last night, the one time he made me laugh was... And please, somebody, just shoot Paula Abdul, because she never says anything bad about anybody.
Yeah, it's her role. That's all she has to do. She has to compliment everybody.
Simon says to someone, this is not cabaret.
Oh, he talked to the skinny girl, the girl, I think that was in the tabloids for like being arrested or something like that.
Anyway.
And she's saying, I thought she did a great job, and he said, it's just like last week. It's cabaret. You're singing cabaret. I told you that last week. And they all, of course, then the two other people have to dump on Simon, and it's just the same old form.
And you got to know that, really, and I think I told you this, I read this, that in the audience, there are people with signs that say, "We love Simon,"
mm-hmm.
and they don't let them bring them in the auditorium.
Right.
And there's some guy standing off in the corner who holds up a big sign for people to boo
mm-hmm.
when Simon says stuff.
Wow. Last night was the first time, really, and I've been watching that show on and off for a very long time, it was the first time I really believed that Simon sometimes just has to force it. Because the girl that got done singing sang a great song, and nobody could argue it. She sang she did a beautiful job with it. And I think he just, that's his job. Mm-hmm. His job is to be the a-hole.
Not cabaret.
A-hole!
Also in the tabloids.
You're just not qualified.
Shouldn't laugh at this, but I will. It's under the Globe headline, and it has the American flag.
Okay.
What makes America great.
Very good.
Anyway, it's a midget girl.
A dwarf, a little person.
She's nine. And she, the midget parent, unadopted.
Now, if Scott was here,
I know he'd be mad.
Scott would be taking swings at you right
when,
now.
When Scott was here,
he's a dwarf, you know. He's not a midget.
He was saying the M word is equivalent to the N word,
yep.
And we had Buzz look the words up in the dictionary. And mm-hmm. and to me, midget was a less offensive definition by Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, but you don't go to the convention.
Than dwarf was. Yeah. Right.
And the little kings would all be in here and they'd be opening up a can of whoopee.
Hitting you with their instruments.
Actually, this picture looks like a Jay Stevens family reunion.
That's really where we're going with
this. Mike, I know you're probably interested in the autopsy of Robert Blake's wife.
Oh, no.
Bonnie Blakely.
They've got it. Here it is, the actual police autopsy in the new tabloid.
Where was she? Was she shot in the head? Is that where she was shot?
In the right on her jawline.
Yeah.
Right on her jawline.
Wow. Man, I tell you, right after we ate at that restaurant, I like so bad.
You like so bad.
Man, oh man, I didn't mean to. We take long walks because, can I tell you something, Don? When you eat at Vitello's, you always have to take a long walk afterwards because you eat the food you like so bad.
Then you have Lisa Marie, who's been on TV the time. And I think I was telling Rob the other day about Lisa Marie when I was watching her with Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how much she, without trying,
right.
talks like Elvis.
And looks and really looks like him.
She's got the Elvis eyes.
Can't totally the Elvis eyes.
The Michael Jackson, that was a terrible mistake.
It was a real, ma'am, let me tell you something, it was a chapter in my history that I'm not proud of.
One great story she told. And, you know, they screw you on that show because Diane Sawyer's asking her softball question.
Right.
And what Lisa Marie Presley doesn't know is that while she's answering the questions, like, at one point they asked about Elvis's drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa Marie was saying, "Oh, I knew that he took pills," and there was so much to hear about it. One time, he would come up to tuck her into bed, and he had to hold himself in the door frame.
When he tuck you into bed, honey?
Because he couldn't stand, and he ended up falling down on the floor.
I'm trying to tuck my little daughter into bed.
And he had to crawl on his hands and knees.
Daddy's going to say goodnight.
To her bed. And Rob, her bed was a...
It was the hamburger bed.
You mean in the shape of a hamburger, Jack?
It was a round bed,
hey.
Round shag bedspread.
A tiny little hamburger bed, baby.
So they got the...
Man, good night, my little hamburger.
They got Lisa Marie tells all for the first time because she's trying to sell that record.
I don't think that record's half bad. I really don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
It's like the Jennifer Love Hewitt record. It's really overproduced.
It's overproduced, but it's not as bad as it could have been.
And finally, and this is the one thing I believe in the tabloids.
Yeah.
After CNN fires her, Connie and Maury's
mm-hmm.
marriage explodes.
Wow, really?
Oh, I cannot stay married to you.
Come on, Connie.
I cannot stay married to you. We have a clip now, a hidden microphone of Connie Chung on the telephone.
Oh, good. Talking to family.
This is her talking to
her mother.
To her mother after she was canned by CNN?
Yes.
And you can hear her mother there, too.
And let me translate.
Okay.
What did he say to you?
Now,
that's awful. And what?
即大家应该会有商有量，唔应该好强硬。
With a shoe？
即因为你系冲咗人哋个地方嘛。
Did he kick you or hit you with the shoe？
不过咧，你哋即系唔使担心啲人。
No,
因为咧，
no, Mike,
我哋中国人，我哋中国知道中国，佢唔会伤害啲人。
Spit shine my shoe.
So it's completely innocent.
Spit shine my shoe.
Well, Maury's not happy. Where's Maury been lately? Does Maury still have a show?
He still has his free show on.
Yeah, you never see it. I never see it anymore.
At 9 a.m., Channel 5.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich.
We got a question about your contest tomorrow.
Okay, very good.
About Mike's Mansion. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, what's your question?
What question do you have about my mansion?
The question is in reference to your questions. I didn't notice anything about any special talents these ladies might have.
Well, you know, the questions are just a framework. You know, as you'll notice, Don said they're going to ask the question. Actually, Don's going to ask the questions, and then I will... I'll be able to add anything that I might want.
Sure. It's all how comfortable Mike feels with the girls and how comfortable Mike is feeling once he gets to know the girls and once they disrobe.
I shouldn't have any problem with that.
I don't think I'll have any problem with that whatsoever.
I don't think so.
You know, you should remember that the concept of Mike's mansion, this is a fictitious mansion we're talking about here. What the girls are competing for is a trip to Las Vegas.
Right.
All right? That's what they're competing for. However, I will be, you know, in the role of Hugh Hefner, making the final decision. Don, I have come to that conclusion.
Yeah, you will make this.
I will make. I, you know, it's rare that I get.
I was hoping you would.
It's rare that I really get a chance to, you know, be the sole judge, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good for you.
And you know, I welcome any questions that Buzz has or Rob might have. You can throw in your questions, additional questions for Mike's Mansion, and really, you know, I know you want it, Mike's Mansion. I always wish it was Mike's Grotto.
But Mike's Mansion.
The Grotto is in the mansion.
But Mike's Mansion just rolls off the tongue. Yeah, but
I understand. Welcome to the room. The Grotto is located right near the bottom of the mansion.
Nudes presenting themselves to my buddy Mike O'Mara.
Yes, so I'll look forward to it. I will look forward to it.
Tomorrow's show, and Mike will select his favorite girl to win a trip to Las Vegas.
That's right. And I'll go along with that, incidentally, because I mean, I know it's me looking at the nudes, and the whole perception is that it's nudes for me. Just want you, I want you guys all to know that it's, you know, hey, you know, I'm fine with that.
But you have, and you know that we'll all look, of course, but
maybe a little.
You got to admit, you have asked every time I mentioned the trip to Las Vegas, how about some skin?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there's been the underlying. Because you're the only one now that can say it.
There it is. There's the rub right there.
You're really the only one now that can actually say how about some skin.
Yes, but let's not forget the fact that we all enjoy a good nude on this.
Oh, who's going to deny that?
You can't deny it. But you know, hey, in the position that I'm in right now, I can take the bullet for all these.
You're the go-to guy.
I can be the go-to guy. You know, I won't go as far. You know, Buzz is still going to be the go-to guy when like nudes come in and actually put on a show, because I still
I'd like that.
You know, I'm not into that. I'm really not in public, of course.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, hello. I'm calling in regards to Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Yeah, I was on a flight once with him coming from Cabo San Lucas to back to the Bay Area. And talk about an all-out a-hole.
What did he do?
This was right after 9/11. It was about October, and I was down in Cabo for a meeting, and somebody had one of those alarms on their baggage. It was going off, and they couldn't close the door. So he came running up. It was up in first class.
What do you mean an alarm on their baggage?
Like if somebody opens your bag, it would set off this little alarm. Saying,
I've seen those things. It's like a miniature version of a car alarm where it goes, boop, 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 boop.
And it's very loud and annoying and constant.
Yeah?
So he came running up to the front door right where the captains are, and he's saying, this is what you need to do. And he's telling the flight attendants to go, please take your seat, sir. And he keeps going. He goes, do you know who I am? She goes, I don't care who you are. I know my job. Your job is to sit in your seat. So he goes back, sits down, he's all befuddled. And after we took off, the flight attendant came up and apologized, saying, listen, sir, I'm sorry, we're just under a little stress. And he wouldn't even talk to her. He just wouldn't talk to her.
Did he appear? You know, isn't he the guy that was, like, naked, smoking marijuana in his...
As I recall, nude, smoking pot,
and playing the bongos.
Playing the bongos naked, that's
when,
right.
When the cops came to his house.
Right, right.
And, like, he opened the door, naked with a joint in his mouth, playing the bongos. Then,
that's what I was going to ask this guy. Was he? Did he appear to be inebriated?
He was sitting at the bar prior to taking off.
Hey, nothing wrong with drinking. Had a little cocktail on a plane. Of course, but, you know, come on.
There you go. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Does the women have to look in particular way?
No. No, when you're stopping by to audition to
Mike's mansion,
be a guest in the mansion, any shape, any size. And really, looks are a small part of it.
Okay.
You know, it's so really Mike, your
saying,
winning attitude.
You're saying pigs are welcome?
Of course, Don. All women are welcome.
Okay.
You know, really, but I will tell you, when you get in here, it's all attitude.
Yeah.
It's all attitude. Okay. There will be no touching, there will be no groping,
but
there will be posing, though.
Now, I don't want to speak for you.
Right.
But the point is that the girls got to get naked, right?
I think, yeah, but that has nothing to do with the fact that women from all walks of life, all shapes,
well, the reason sizes. I was asking is I'm 9 months pregnant.
I'm sorry. That is my own personal thing.
You have to wait for Donnie's mansion.
You have to wait for Don's mansion for that one.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right, goodbye.
Wow. Goodbye.
Really, you should be thinking about taking care of that baby.
Her hopes were dead.
And not stopping by the grotto. Thank God it's my mansion. Baby's otherwise, if it was Donnie's mansion, which we'll probably do next month, she'd be in, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she'd come by. We'd have a contest.
All lactating women come by.
We'd have a milk contest.
Oh, God. Oh, my.
Don and Mike, hello. Last call. Hello.
Hi, does Mike have the option of accompanying the young lady?
No. No.
Why not? This is the perfect option.
No. Not doing that. Didn't do it between the last marriage. Not doing it during this one, too.
You're getting older. It's getting tougher to get dates.
Sir, hold on.
So you say.
Let me just say.
I was out with the nicest 70-year-old woman the other night, sir. You are so wrong.
Let me just say that. He doesn't like to talk about this, and I am not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
He gets plenty of stink. I mean that.
You're deliberately embarrassing me.
No, Mike, it's a compliment.
But I don't need to. You know what? Certain things don't need to be said.
Okay.
You know what? Suffice to say, I'm very happy with the way things are going in the world of singledom. If I had to do it over again, I'd go back to being married. I'm not happy about not being married anymore. But as far as my social life, it's just fine.
There's one thing. When we were on vacation.
Yes.
At one point, I was talking to you, we were in Orlando and you were in Florida, and I said something to you, because Bart was in the room with me, and I said, oh, well, you know, well, good, you're going to be with an FB. And
don't do this to me.
No.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Here's the thing. So I hang up the phone, and Bart says, hey, Dad, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I said... I was talking to Uncle Mike about playing golf and the tornadoes. And he said, no, Dad, I know.
Right.
I know.
A man has to live.
That's right.
Life has to go on at a certain point.
And that's what I said to him.
And life is going on.
I said, Uncle Mike has needs.
It has always struck me that, in the days of being a young disc jockey, as you used to always talk about, you know, talking to women on the phones, and I know certainly Charlie Broyhill in his days would use the show and the phones. And really, you know, the marriage number two, in a roundabout way, was a result of this show. You know that.
You kind of met her on the highway, because your sister was on the Highway Love Connection.
So that's even more a reason that, right now it's just, I'm fine with the whole concept of the mansion. I'm fine because I did ask about having nudity on the show. You know, I like that. But no, it's I will not be accompanying the women.
A wise move.
This is, you know, they will be able to get their own dates and go out. I am simply being like Hef would be in this situation. All right? I'm doing this for the magazine.
I think your next wife
will be a woman. My next companion, Doc.
Your next wife.
My next partner.
Your next wife.
Companion. Not a goddamn chance that I'm getting married.
With a prenup. Will be a woman that you...
Not even with a prenup.
Will be a woman that you meet somewhere who has... No idea what you do for a living or how much cake you make.
I don't know, you know, what's going to happen, but I think really I'm done with that whole situation. I'm really, really done with that. The whole idea, the M word, is not a word that that really appeals to me right
what
now.
What about the L word?
What's that?
Live. Live with.
Yeah.
Cohabitate.
I don't think, I think to say that would be foolish. To say
F.
But really, even cohabitation?
AF.
AF. If the situation was to present itself.
All right, we got to break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Jingle Boy's mother, Helen. I received your message on my voicemail, and I just wanted to clear up any misconception that you both may have that I am a pushy showbiz mother. I am not one of these pushy parents living through their children. Oh, no. Jingle Boy loves to sing. He really wants to be a star, and he wants to do this all by himself. Go ahead, sweetness. Tell them the truth for Mummy.
Yes, Mommy, dearest Mommy mine. Ouch, you're hurting my arm. I love my Mommy dearest more than anything in the world. Jingle singing is a choice of my own free will. I love to practice singing 12 hours a day and giving up baseball, football, basketball, and playing with my friends. My mother does not live her dream of being a star through me. I will write a book about my loving mother called Mommy Dearest Mommy Mine when I grow up. This has not been... What's that word, Mom?
Rehearsed. I hope this has eliminated any doubt in both your minds about the sincerity of Jingle Boy and his self-desire for fame. Right, sweetness, my little snuggle puss. Signing off for now, Don and Mike. Ta-ta!
Turn off the tape, Jingle Boy. You're so convincing. Now let's get back to practice.
See you in Toledo, you stupid whore.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I've had it up here with the likes of you people.
Executive directors of the group home, Don and Mike.
Where's my Connie Funny Honey? Hi, baby. Honey? Oh, wrong line. Hi, baby. Frida?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. I got you. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
So tonight, she'll be joining me at this Brian Mitchell charity bash.
No second choice, but I still appreciate you wanting me along.
Now, what do you say? Now, you just said that to me during the break.
I was second choice. Who was first choice?
Bart was.
Yeah.
Right, because it's a football thing.
Right.
Right.
But he's not 21, so he can't get in.
You'll have a wonderful time.
And I'm barely 21, so
now,
two things I want to discuss with you very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
First, I went to get my hair cut today. Now, we've been kidding on vacation about, you know, my fascination with this movie Ocean's 11.
Right.
And, you know, I told you on vacation that it was really pissing Frida off when I was doing the whole I'm Danny Ocean, this is a right. test.
And you said, like, waiters and stuff would come over to you and say, Mr. Ocean?
Mr. Ocean, yeah.
I love
so,
it.
So she said, you got to get a haircut. And I agree, I needed a haircut. Little did I know that she called the barber shop, the salon.
Barber shop.
this place that I go to. I'll give a plug, Uri and Associates.
Well, with a big pole out front.
Mm-hmm. Downtown in Georgetown, really nice place.
Rob's looking over incredulously because he, you know, he does in fact go to a real old barber, ye old barber shop.
I do. I go to Malcolm. Malcolm Dean Justice is his name.
And they have the pole? Do they have the pole out front?
Yeah, I tried to get it. He said, no, that's not the kind of pole we're looking for.
Now the guy who cuts my hair, first of all, he's lucky to be in this country. Okay, he's a talented artist, uh-huh. but he is not good with the language.
Have you identified his country of origin?
Somewhere over there.
There's only two countries in my husband's mind.
This is true.
There's us and there's them.
There's them. There you go.
He's one of them.
So as I sit in the chair, we start talking about the statue of Saddam.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's that moment when he's looking at me in the mirror. He's standing behind me.
You Yankee pig.
He's cutting my hair. He's looking at me, and he goes, I don't. And he says to...
I will open your throat up, you Yankee bastard.
He says to somebody halfway across the salon, he says,
Well, really, it's what I mean. He's speaking broken English.
Okay.
I'm picking up what he's saying is... And all I hear is... Frida von... George Clooney! Now,
so I don't
see... Was he busting on you?
Well, I guess.
Was he making fun of them? I suggested they rent Ocean's 11.
I guess he was.
He was amused.
I guess he was, and I didn't pick up... Hello?
I'm here.
My fault.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on what he was talking about until I got done. I tip him. I go up front, and Toby, who's the girl, the lady, who's a friend of ours.
Is she hot?
Yeah.
So anybody, a girl named Toby has to be hot.
Yeah. She says, oh, your hair looks real nice. I said, thanks. She said, I'm really sorry that we couldn't make it look like George Clooney in Ocean 11.
That means, Frida, you've been doing some talking.
And I said...
I thought the resemblance was obvious.
And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, oh, we all got a big laugh when Frida called. And
did you say you wanted a haircut like George Clooney?
I said to her on vacation at some point.
Yes, he did.
I said, you know, because I wear my hair Gotti-like, slicked back.
Right,
right.
And
I said,
he's over Gotti, and he's into George.
I said, maybe on vacation.
You have to brush it forward?
In Ocean's 11, actually, it's like parted on one side.
Ah, right.
And it's actually combed over.
Maybe we could get a picture of Clooney so we could see the hairstyle and see if you like that.
Anyway, it was just...
Someone called for a doctor?
It was just something that I thought was just idle conversation.
So when Frida made the appointment, did you tell them that Dom wanted a haircut like George Clooney?
Yeah, I did because they weren't familiar with the look.
And it was a source of obviously a great joy within the salon?
Yeah, because I walk in here's the first thing. You know, I'm happy about my weight loss, and today I'm dressed up because we're doing this giant...
And you look great.
We're doing this Brian Mitchell thing tonight.
That right? suit, so, I've never seen a suit fit better on you than that one.
When I walk in the door, the first thing Toby says to me, and then I realize she's busting the balls, says, you look like a movie star.
Oh my God.
And I think, you know, right?
Did you give her like a real sincere thank you?
I did. I said,
she meant that sincerely.
I said,
you do look very handsome today.
I said, thanks. I've been, you know, I've lost, I weighed myself today, 48 pounds, nice and suntan.
And you know, not every movie star is great looking.
Oh, Christ, you're the worst.
She looked good today, but I mean, she could have meant like, you know, John Belushi for all you know, but I'm sure she didn't.
So then anyway, Ahmed at one point is doing the Frida, George Clooney.
And he laughs?
Yeah, and he laughs. Now, I don't know what's happening, and I'm not going to ask him because first off, and he's a wonderful barber.
Right.
But when I asked him a question, like, I opened up the conversation, I said, so did you see the statue being torn down? He starts talking, but I only understand, like, every fifth word.
George Clooney!
That's exactly it. Here you go, Mike. Here, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
This is the picture from Ocean's 11. That is the hairstyle... That, I believe one day when I was drunk on the boat, I said...
You couldn't get that hairstyle. That's just not your hairline, even if you were, you know, you have lost a lot of weight.
Keep in mind, because he used to have the old George Clooney hairstyle, and this is part of the reason we're talking about. Remember when George Clooney used to comb it forward into that little tiny fringe of bangs?
Remember when George Clooney had the haircut that looked like he put a bowl on his head and just cut around it?
No, he had a little. It was combed forward more in the fringe of bangs in front. And you looked great, darling, with that haircut.
Anyway, all I know is that I'm so embarrassed when I go up to pay the bill and Toby says to me, "Oh, your hair." And now I'm thinking the guy's giving me a great A haircut and I'm loving it. And she says, it doesn't look at all like George Clooney's hair.
Could you tell that she was busting on you when she said that?
No, she was disappointed.
Oh, really?
She was being heartfelt. And I said, Toby, what are you talking about? And she said, Frida called.
Oh, no.
And as soon as she said Frida called, I know, I'm effed.
So Frida called and said that we should watch the movie Ocean's 11, and that's the type of haircut we should give you today. But we didn't have time to rent the movie.
Hey, I could have said Carl Reiner's.
Yeah. I'm like, here, in this publicity photo, the Caesar, that is the Clooney haircut that I...
That's when you looked exactly like George Clooney.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Split image of him. Anyway, you terribly embarrassed me today because...
I was trying to help. I'm sorry, darling.
And we had a...
Sounds like you brought a lot of joy to the salon.
I don't know if you watched it or not last night. I thought last night's episode of 24 was another real good one. Mm-hmm. However, I'm losing her. Frida now left.
It's the third week in a row that I have fallen asleep watching 24.
I agree with you, Mike. Wow. I fell asleep 2 weeks ago.
It's just
that's
too
what I was
much.
Saying.
It's overkill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And last night she said to me, I don't like the show. And I was saying last night, now they're going to pick it up. Stuff's right. going to happen
yeah.
now.
It's They've just only... too busy, though, now. It's just, come on. They found the bomb, and now what? You know, it's getting to be like a bad soap opera now.
Oh, I still like it. That they have for it. Have you seen the commercial where they play the sappy music and they make it like a love story?
No, that ran during American Idol, yeah, where they did play like an Avril Lavigne song.
All right, I'm trying to focus on 24 because I know you guys are all still watching it. I'm just losing it, you know. I started to waver when they had the infrared, the lady back at CTI, and she was trying to get the infrared screen and show them where these... And who are these 12 guys that are trying to kill them? Who are they and who are the bad guys?
They have something to do with the conspiracy theory.
To create a world war?
Yes, to get the President Palmer to go to war with these Arab countries.
Well, who's the guy that needs the girl? And why does he need the girl? You know, I've really lost. I've lost total focus.
That guy was the last commando.
But he was a bad guy.
He was a bad guy, but he was going to... turn the other way. And
he was a bought off guy.
The great thing at the end was when Jack Bauer reached right into the guy's body, just cut him wide open and figured out that that's where the microchip was.
I've got it TiVo'd, but I just don't get into it anymore.
Anyway, it's one of the few shows that we actually watch together.
Right.
And now I lost her on here.
That's because the whole episode, yeah, I like the end too, but it was like a long trip for a short vacation.
No, I disagree. I still think it's one of the best shows on TV. I love you, even though you totally screwed me today in the barbershop.
Well, I was excited about tonight afterwards, me and my George Clooney clone. Now I have to wait. I have to wait till your hair grows longer.
Honey, you're waiting for a George Clooney clone. You better wait till they can actually clone people.
I've got to mold you as best I can.
No matter how much weight I lose, I'm still going to be the same ugly guy.
No, you're not ugly. Stop that.
Oh, terribly ugly.
Horribly
disformed.
You're going to be so good. I mean, you are good looking, but you have got a lot more untapped potential.
Oh, and that's the latest. Now, listen to this. We have, side-by-side treadmills.
Oh, so you can run together. You can race.
Now we can.
We can hold hands.
We can hold hands while we treadmill.
That's dangerous.
All right, baby.
All right, goodbye.
Well, thanks for effing me in the salon today.
I was trying to help.
Oh, and you know.
Have it up and do it, George Clooney.
Again, when I, it's the thing, you got to go into a shoe store to get to this place.
Like, get smart.
You do. And you take an elevator.
Right.
And the elevator doors open, and it's this woman, Toby, wonderful woman,
right.
Who's married to Uri, who's the guy who owns the place.
Mm-hmm.
He was at my Super Bowl party. The one where the Rams lost in the very last minute to the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys remember two years ago. Anyway, they were there. I know how you'd remember him.
How?
His daughter has got
Sugar Bear. Oh, we don't talk about people's children.
Yeah, remember now.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she.
Yeah, and I don't care. You know, if they're shapely or not. They're still children.
You tell her she can audition for the match.
She is she's going to Tulane, though, so she's an adult.
That's enough, darling.
Okay. So, anyway, just picture this. The elevator doors open to this place, and there's our friend, Toby.
You come out looking like Carrot Top after your next haircut.
And now, I'm feeling good. I got a nice suit on, nice fancy tie, and she says, hey, you look like a movie star. And I go, well, what can I say? Not knowing the whole time, you know, that Frida's already called and said, you know, he's got this Clooney thing.
No, she wasn't setting you up. If she had been, she would have said, you look almost like a movie star before the haircut.
All right, baby. I will see you tonight.
All right.
We are meeting at this little get-together, correct?
Right.
All right, I'll see you there.
I hope I recognize you.
Love you.
Love you too, sweetheart. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. There's only one thing that's not the movie star thing.
I know.
That looks painful.
That is, actually, it's not a zit.
It isn't?
It's not a zit. It is from sitting in the sun.
Oh, a little sunburn.
In New Orleans.
It looks extremely painful.
My nose is absolutely beet red. Mm-hmm. From that day, Buzz, and Mike, you joined us very briefly outside.
Yeah, but you guys were out there for a long time.
I was out there for 3 hours, and then I went out again on Sunday for another 3 hours.
Wow. Right.
And sat outside, and I wish you wouldn't have said that, because she hadn't noticed. She's always yelling at me to wear, like, sunblock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I always say, honey, I tan naturally.
You do, right. You tan well.
Well, no. My nose...
You never get burned, though.
Well, my nose is close to peeling now.
Yeah, it looks like... Does it hurt at all?
Yeah. It's red.
Don't worry. I'm back with the water in my rental place, and then, you know, I'll be getting something in the next day or so.
Probably looks like the inside of my buttock cheeks.
Oh, God.
My nose. All red.
Angry.
Angry. Well, we got a contest coming up. Let me see if I can get two calls about 24 in. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about 24.
Yeah.
Did you see the previews for next week?
No, and I purposely don't watch them. So please
I won't tell you then, but it looks rocking. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been good, but next week's going to be
They've only got how many left, Buzz? Seven?
Seven, right.
Yeah, seven.
Seven left. Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, hey guys, love you, love your show. Hey, listen, first off, I'd like to apologize.
For?
I called up when we were discussing when the two girls were having problems in the office. I called up and said, hey... They're lesbians. They weren't lesbians.
What do you mean on 24?
On 24.
Right.
They weren't lesbians.
I took the guess. I said they were lesbians. I'd like to apologize. Holy crap, an accident almost happened right in front of me.
Although, you know what? I think, now that I think about it, remember I've always thought that the moon face girl...
is somehow involved in a conspiracy.
Now I think it's the other one.
Yeah,
I think I was totally wrong about the moon pie face girl. Right.
She's bad news.
Yeah.
Well, they've already said what was going on, why they don't like each other.
Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Because the one that came in late, I forget her name, the one that came in late,
right?
That hasn't been working there the whole time,
right?
Had something going on with the other girl's husband.
Oh. Oh, no, you're right, because she was listening to a phone call where... The moon-faced girl called her husband up, and her husband, she said something about the other... You're right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So the new lady...
That's why they don't like each other, and they haven't talked about it personally, but she heard it on the phone message.
So the new lady had an affair with a moon-faced girl's husband?
Right.
Ah, okay.
Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey.
Rob, Buzz, how you doing? Hey. So I'm following 24, and I think it's cool, and I'm really into it right now. I love the infrared thing getting sent to his Palm Pilot right there and being able to see all the snipers that are all around him.
Right.
But the one thing, the Alicia Cuthbert, I still don't even know her name on the show, but her, it's so far-fetched, everything that happens to her. Now she's just, everything's cool. And she's just,
out
of being arrested for everything. And then it's such a burn, though, that her one-legged boyfriend then...
Did laugh. I said, Captain Dan.
You saw that coming, though, right? What, her boyfriend lost a leg?
Yeah, she calls her boyfriend up. And she says, hey, I got great news. The cops have acquitted us of all the charges.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't ever want to see you again.
Right.
And she said, what? Everything's great. My dad's alive. And he said, I don't want to see you again. And then they pulled back.
That show, man.
And he's only got one leg.
They just throw everything in
there. So much going on. The show's not as believable as it was the first season, I think.
However, Mike, in the previews of next week's episode, Alicia Cuthbert, what's her name?
Alicia Cuthbert.
Kim Bauer, Alicia Cuthbert.
Right. She appears bottomless.
Fantastic. I've been waiting. Well, now the show picks up a little bit, and she's bottomless through the whole episode?
Now I'm laughing.
Being chased by a cougar.
Now!
Being chased by a cougar into a convenience store that's being robbed in a bunker.
Speaking of laughing.
Uh-huh.
Get ready.
Oh, yeah. This is going to rock.
Yeah.
We have a trip to Las Vegas to give away, courtesy of Miramax. It's a trip for two, 4 nights, 5 days, hotel, round trip air. Miramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancement really works. Ask, buzz, or call 1-888-TRY-VMAX to get your free supply or find a retailer near you. We've done this with everybody on the show, but never with our engineer.
No.
Wendell Hall.
And I think Wendell is going to be one of the toughest laughs we've ever had in here.
Wendell Smoot Hall. Rob, I want you to put 10 minutes on the clock for the first go-around.
So be interesting.
We will take your live on-screen calls. Make our engineer, Wendell Hall, laugh.
You don't make Don laugh, you don't make Mike laugh, or Buzz, or Rob, or anybody. It's you make Wendell laugh. You make Wendell laugh that strangulated gurgle of a laugh that he has.
The laugh that he gave us down in Tampa Bay. And here he is, Wendell. I'm just telling it right now. But he's here with his headphones.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, our engineer, Wendell, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
There he is.
Yay.
How's your voice today?
Pretty good.
Oh, there you go. It was a little gurgly.
Still smoking?
Mm-hmm.
How many packs a day?
One
pack
a day.
Mm-hmm. You going for the Unabomber look?
Yeah, Wendell, when's the last time you took a good trimmer to that beard of yours?
I don't know, a week or two?
About a week or two. Listen, Wendell's a sensitive guy.
It's radio.
It's a look.
And we are...
I'm just busting his chops because of yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
But the yesterday was yesterday.
That's right.
It's a new day today.
Today we're going to make Wendell laugh.
Well, maybe. Now, Wendell, the only thing I'll say to you is don't feel any undue pressure to laugh at something.
It's got to be really from the heart.
Gotcha.
Okay? All right.
Well, you know me, Uncle Cartoon. I love to laugh.
I know, but you know, I think Wendell's, you know what? I think Wendell's an honest laugh.
Yeah?
I think if somebody makes Wendell laugh, they're really going to have succeeded. I don't think he's a particularly easy laugh, but he does enjoy a good joke.
877-365-3636. We'll start with 10 minutes on the clock. Make Wendell laugh. Win the trip to Vegas. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just remember what your old pal Bozo always says. Joe. Keep laughing.
The Don and Mike Show.
Be good, or they'll put you in a sack and take you to Spain. The Don and Mike Show.
So here he is, the very sensitive engineer, Wendell Smoot Hall.
Hi there.
Gun owner.
NRA member.
Mm-hmm. Womanizer. Bon vivant.
Chain smoker.
Hi, Don. Proud American.
Yeah.
Wendell Hall. We've had him on the show a lot of times. I think maybe my favorite Wendell Hall segment of all was the segments with Juicy Lucy.
Wonderful, wonderful time in Wendell's life when we fixed Wendell up with a listener, and her name was Juicy Lucy, and they hit it off magnificently until they were like a star. They burned brightly for a while and then burned themselves out. I believe it was simply too much sex. Isn't that correct, Wendell?
Yep.
And it was on your end, too much sex.
You wore her out, or did she wear you out?
She wore him out, right?
It was a very mutual thing.
Wore each other.
Was we had sex till we were tired and sore.
Tired and sore was really
sore.
One of the grossest moments in the show.
All right, so the deal is this. Wendell, please, let it happen naturally.
Gotcha.
Don't feel bad if you don't. We've got another segment. It'd be great if you do it here. No pressure. We have had segments of make people laugh, and we have had...
Zero.
No winners.
Yeah. No winners at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, having said all of that, Robbie, we'll get the first call. Give me 10 minutes on the clock.
10 minutes to make Wendell Hall laugh.
Very good.
Are you ready? Here we go. Don and Mike Show, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell, it's the saddest thing. The other day, I read an article about a little boy who was born with...
She's on some kind of speakerphone.
Yeah. Got it in a better phone.
You're going to play Make Us Laugh, or make Wendell laugh in this case. You don't get on a speakerphone.
Don and Mike, hi, make Wendell laugh. Hello?
Hello?
Make Wendell laugh.
Should tell everybody, very important on Make Wendell Laugh, to know that you're on the air.
The thing is, we don't screen these calls, folks, so please, you got to help us.
Be ready.
What do you call a pit bull? Forget it.
Oh, right out of the box.
Worth the wait.
You know, I like that,
though. Straight line. You screw up the straight line.
I like it when,
yeah,
a, guy,
funny. Yeah.
When a guy just hits the eject. You know,
right,
oh,
yeah. Ah,
forget it. That's it.
You know, what do you call a pit bull? Had potential.
Ah, forget it. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Me?
No, me? Somebody else.
Okay, so this pirate walks into a bar with a steering wheel on his pants, and the bartender goes, hey, you know you have a steering wheel on your pants? And the pirate's like, arr, it's driving me nuts. Sorry.
Hello, Don.
You know what? I will tell you. He got absolutely no reaction from Wendell. Don and I both smirked simultaneously.
We did. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
What do you say to a woman with no arms and no legs? Nice teeth.
And Wendell, it would be nice when they ask these questions if you say what?
What? Yeah.
Or, you know, or respond.
Yeah, I remember the segment with Make Your Brother Jim Laugh when Jim did not know how to handle a joke, right. And... How did that go? I'm trying to remember. Johnny would,
what was it that he would say?
Somebody would say, "What do you call a man with three eyes?" And Jimmy would say, "I don't know."
That's what it was.
When you're supposed to respond, "What do you call a man with three?" I don't know. What do you call a man with three eyes? That's the way you normally play it.
I make Wendell laugh.
True story. Last year, I arrested a guy for drunk driving, and I asked him what his race was, and he said, "Well, I'm half Mexican, half German." He goes, "Well, I guess that makes me a Beaner Schnitzel."
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Just think, Wendell, in the future, if we clone you, you could do remotes for JFK and HFS.
A little inside there. Somebody
radiophile.
Go on the inside.
Talk. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Three gay guys in the waiting room of a mortuary, crematorium.
Nope. You screw up the straight line. Screw up the straight line. You're disqualified.
You got to make your mind up. And you know, I'm always on the fence on that.
Mm-hmm.
What will it be tonight?
Right.
The crematorium or the mortuary? Hello, make Wendell laugh. Hello. Yeah.
Hey, Wendell, what do you call two black men on a motorcycle?
No.
Sorry,
no,
wrong show. Hi, Don and Mike.
No racist.
Make Wendell laugh.
Why don't blondes wear miniskirts in San Francisco?
Why?
Because they're ball show.
Hello, make Wendell laugh. Mike, that disappoints me.
I'm sorry. Smile quietly.
Hello.
Hello.
Make Wendell laugh.
What's the difference between a monkey and a tard?
What's the difference?
The monkey knows why he's throwing the poop on you.
The monkey what?
Knows why he's throwing the poop on you.
Oh, okay. Is that was a winner in the
Rob Spiewak,
of course.
And I laughed after looking at Rob laugh.
Of course.
He really liked it. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
So the horse walks in the bar and the bartender says, "Why the long face?"
Old.
Go to hell. Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Here I am.
Make Wendell laugh.
What do you call a midget with ESP that's just escaped from prison?
What do you call a midget with ESP that's just escaped from prison?
A small medium at large.
Don and Mike.
And
show.
Didn't she say escaped?
Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey there.
Is this the original How You Doing Guy?
Hey there.
Yeah, and Wendell must like the How You Doing Guy because Wendell was smiling a little bit and now he's regained control of himself.
Hey there.
You know, how you doing, guy? This is really not the right segment for you to call.
No, you know, it's kind of greedy, really, because you can call it anytime.
Anytime.
Hey there.
How come you haven't called us more recently?
Hey there.
Well, you're not interested anymore?
Hey there.
Well, you are interested.
Hey there. Hey there.
All right.
I think Joe told me you've called, but Rob has paused the clock, incidentally.
Good. Yeah, we should have.
Hey there.
Joe told me you've called a lot, right?
Hey there.
Because Joe had it up on the screen the other day, an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was Joe Rockhead because I know that right. He's going to call it since he was on CNN. And I actually said to Joe, "Who's the old friend?" And he said, "It's a How You Doing Guy."
I don't remember. Did we get bored with the How You Doing Guy? I think you might have gotten bored with him.
I think we did, but I'm ready for him to come back.
Yeah, so call like in a normal time.
Hey there.
All right. Good.
See you later, How You Doing Guy.
Hey there.
All right, bye.
Hey there.
Bye.
There you go.
Can we start the clock, Robbie?
On the next joke.
And Don and Mike, hi, make Wendell laugh.
What's black and sits at the top of the stairs?
That's old. We had a winner. That was a winner.
That's Christopher Reeve on fire. Hello, Don and Mike show.
After a house fire.
Right, yeah, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell.
Yes?
your mom is so fat, after she's done having sex, she rolls over and smokes a ham.
Hello, make Wendell laugh.
You know, if someone's kicking the infirm, you will laugh at your jaw, Rob, but the fact... See, smoke a cigarette, smoke a ham.
What, that made you laugh?
It made me smile. I mean, I was surprised. That's his kind of joke, I would think.
Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Please.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hello, yes, Wendell. Guy walks into CVS, walks back to the pharmacist to ask for condoms with pesticide on it. Do you know why?
Why?
Why is that?
Well, because he told the pharmacist, don't you mean spermicide? And she said, no, pesticide. Well, that's because my wife's got a bug up her rear, and I'm going in after it.
Okay. Hello, Donna, Mike.
Well, can I turn into a she in that joke?
Make Wendell laugh. Hi.
Guy goes into a bar, only two people in it. Good-looking babe and the bartender. Walks in, sits down at the bar, says to the bartender, hey, buy that girl down there a drink. And he goes, sir, you don't want to do that. She's a lesbian. I don't care. Buy her the damn drink. Fine. Bartender goes down there, gives the lady a drink. The lady acknowledges, thank you very much. A few more minutes, he wanders down there, sits next to her, and says, so, what part of lesbia are you from?
You know what annoys me, if I could just take a moment?
Oh, what? My God.
When someone's reading a joke, and they actually read it the way it's written, like... Mm-hmm. And then she acknowledges the person by saying, hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell.
Yes?
$50 says, at the rescue mini, little Jay kicks Don's ass. Yeah!
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell, I'm sure when you're cruising through Georgetown looking for your honey babies, you've seen the brothers wear those shirts that say FUBU. Well, just in case you didn't know, it stands for Farmers Used to Beat Us. Bye.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Not even Rob laughed at that. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Wendell, what is the worst thing about eating vegetables?
I don't know. What is the worst thing about eating vegetables?
Ah, the colostomy bag tastes like crap.
Okay. Not enough. I laughed. I'm sorry.
Did he?
Hello, Don and Mike. You don't win, though. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, what's green and has little red wheels?
I don't know.
The one. I was lying about the wheels.
What?
Huh?
A $1 bill?
Well, I don't even know what he said.
I said, what's green and has little red wheels? The answer is the lawn.
The lawn?
The lawn.
The lawn.
I was lying about the wheels.
Yeah.
Did you make that up?
Nah, my three-year-old did.
You're a three-year-old.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Wendell laugh.
Okay, a woman is at the grocery store line. She has a romance novel, a box of tissues, a dinner for one, and a can of cat food. The clerk says, oh, so you're single, huh? She says, oh, how'd you know? He said, because you're effing ugly.
Okay, that made Rob laugh, Mike laugh, and me laugh, but it did not make Wendell laugh.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, no. Wendell's a good player on this game. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell, why are gay men the first ones to check out of the hotel in the morning?
I don't know.
Because they get their ass packed the night before.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Confucius say, man who farts in church sits in own pew.
We're down to the two-minute warning. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh. Hello?
Stop.
All right. Oops, missed a chance. Hi, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Yeah, Wendell, what do you get when you turn a blonde upside down?
I don't know.
A brunette with bad breath.
Don and Mike, god damn, how old is that?
They are, people are really bringing out some old ones.
Yeah. Make Wendell laugh. Hello?
How come Italians don't like Jehovah's Witnesses?
How is that?
Because they don't like any witnesses.
That made Mike laugh.
No, not really. I don't
Hello,
know.
Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Yeah, what do you say to a woman who has two black eyes? Nothing. You already told the bitch
twice. That's old.
That's from Rob Spiewak. Rob Spiewak's favorite joke.
His collection.
Don and Mike. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell, what's the difference between a pickpocket and a peeping Tom?
I know.
A pickpocket
nope,
matches watches. Matches watches.
And a peeping Tom.
Mm-hmm. A pickpocket snatches watches.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
A guy pulls into a gas station and says, give me $5 worth of gas.
the gas station attendant starts pumping the gas, and he looks in the back seat of the car, and there's three penguins sitting there. Says to the guy driving the car, he says, "Where'd you get the penguins?" The guy driving the car says, "I found them down the street about 10 miles. The guy starts scratching his head as he's pumping the gas, and he says, "Well, what are you going to do with them?" The guy driving the car says, "I have no idea." Gas station attendant says, "Well, why don't you take them to the zoo?" Guy says, "That's a great idea. Thanks a lot."
Is there an end? It's too slow.
Is there an
end? The delivery is too slow. What? You have been disqualified.
Goodbye.
God damn.
I mean, really, you're going to tell a joke like that, you got to tell it rapid fire.
Dynamite, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell, have you ever seen a leper hockey game?
No.
Yeah, they have the face off.
God almighty.
All right, that's the...
people can do better.
That's the mark.
Can they?
Well, yes, Buzz. As a matter of... I'll give you a... two bonus calls here.
Oh, good.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
What do Saddam and Little Miss Muffet have in common?
Not much anymore.
They both have curds in their way.
Mm.
Don and Mike, hello.
And Wendell, the rule is really you don't make your own joke here. You know,
I was actually not bad. Curds in their way.
But, yeah.
Not bad.
You understand, it's the rule of you just receive the joke.
I know, but now I'm thinking about it. Yeah. They both have curds. I get jokes. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell.
Yeah?
Listen. Me, Lucy. I want to work things out. I miss your D.
All right, that's made everybody laugh except Wendell.
That's a guy being juicy, Lucy.
Okay, listen, we're going to go to overtime on this.
All right.
We're going to do another segment. It'll be a longer segment.
I know that people can do better. And I know they can do better by not going to the real old jokes.
Now, I know in that segment, I laughed at least two.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Yeah, and I'm about there with you, probably. Yeah.
And actually four, but the one doesn't count because I only laughed at Rob laughing at it.
And the right. Juicy Lucy guy, you know, was funny. And Wendell didn't like that.
Buzz, how many got you?
Two, actually.
Two got you.
I like the ugly customer one best.
And thus far, yeah, the one about the lady in the store.
Right, right. Yeah.
Because you're effing ugly.
Right.
The prize, a trip to Las Vegas. You make our engineer, Wendell Hall, laugh. Phone number 877-365-3636.
The door is wide open.
We'll do another round of this.
Very good.
And I'm positive we'll get a winner. Right, stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard Hayden?
Tommy.
So where's my dad? I thought he was going to meet me at the airport.
He was at the airport this morning, but you weren't on the plane.
He said he had a surprise for me.
Maybe. I guess you should have called.
I did call earlier when using the phone.
Earlier? When was that?
Or later when then I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Mm-hmm.
Hotkey not associated.
Oh, hold on a second. Can you pad for a second? There you go.
Yeah, okay. At least that didn't happen with the reporter here.
Let them raise your children. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, the reporter's gone.
Reporter's gone. Everybody breathe a sigh of relief.
The guy is writing a book about... Here's why I agreed to be interviewed by the guy.
Okay.
Writing about what's wrong with radio. A subject that I love discussing.
Yeah.
What's
did you
wrong?
Did you tell him reporters?
That was part of it. I did a nice long monologue about Jeffrey York.
Ah, very good.
Anyway, the guy wanted to know basically how I made the transition from the top 40 mm-hmm. to what we do now.
Right.
And the last part was that he called the corporate people
mm-hmm.
and got them to agree to let him come in and watch us do the show.
Mm-hmm.
So he watched... I think Charlie made him wait in the lobby during the whole first break.
Right, right.
He watched the second break from Buzz's room.
Mm-hmm. Came in here for a couple of breaks.
And then he came in here, and I really effed up because during the one commercial break ago, I went back to Charlie and I said, okay, when we get done with the first segment of Make Wendell Laugh,
mm-hmm.
you come in and tell him that's it, that he's seen enough of the show.
Right. And Don hands me a note to that effect at the beginning of the last break.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's going to leave after this segment.
So, mm-hmm. we got done, and we didn't get a winner on Make Wendell Laugh. I said, okay, we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting.
We don't have relatives. Just to point out here, when we do this show, and it's the way it's been for, 18, 19 years, we don't even have, like, relatives come in to watch.
Right.
It just rarely happens.
Mm-hmm. So this guy, I see the door open. And it's Charlie Broyhill, right? And I look away for a second, and I see the door shut. And I said to Mike, well,
see, he's gone.
He's gone. And I waved at the monitors. And then Mike said, so, Mark, do you have any other questions for us?
He was standing right there, and Don was about to, I mean, boy, you were probably about to really...
let him have it.
Yes.
Say, boy, what a pain in the ass it was having that guy around.
I don't understand why you feel that. I like him a lot. No, I just, you know me and reporters, I have a thing about reporters.
Print guys.
Print guys scare the living crap out of me.
He allegedly is writing a book mm-hmm. about what's wrong with radio, and he did sit down with me for 2 hours.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. That's what he's allegedly writing about.
Where I just told him where all the bodies were buried.
Very good.
And all the names and
Mark,
all
Mark, I hope
places.
You're going to do us a good turn, like you did some of the time when you wrote the column.
Yeah, Mike was just reminding me during one of our commercial breaks.
It was not always sweetness and light with him as a columnist for the Washington Post.
He used to be the radio guy for the Washington
Post. We had good and we had bad.
But anyway, he's gone, and now it's on to round number two of Make Wendell Laugh. Now, we still have the trip to Las Vegas online.
Very good.
No one has made our engineer Wendell Hall laugh yet. Wendell, are you in a jolly mood?
Oh, yeah. Always.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your personal mood today?
Today?
8.
Eight. That's a great mood for Wendell.
Excellent.
We are looking.
What was it yesterday?
What time?
when we talked to you.
Before. Before or after? Just before?
Before.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. 2, 3.
All right. Make Wendell laugh. Win the trip to Las Vegas. Probably put 10 on the clock.
10 minutes on the clock.
10 on the clock. And higher on the air, Make Wendell laugh.
Good afternoon, guys. How you guys doing?
You're wasting valuable time.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Hey, how do you know when you're really ugly?
How's that?
The dog pumping your leg has to close his eyes.
Mike, don't tell me.
I do.
Come on now.
I didn't. Come on.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Come on now.
Make one to laugh.
Hey, what do a tornado and a redneck divorce have in common?
They're not.
Hell no. Somebody's going to lose a trailer.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Who wants ass fudge?
Don and Mike, hello. It's a good thing that wasn't make us laugh.
It might not have won, even with us, but we both started to snicker.
Hi, make Wendell laugh.
So to speak.
What's the difference between a lesbian and a Ritz?
Don't know.
One's a snack cracker, the other's a crack snacker.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh. Wow, that one got Mike.
What do you
I'm
get when
I'm smiling.
You...
I'm not laughing.
Hello.
Don't keep giving me attributing laughing.
Because you're smiling a lot.
I'm just an idiot. You know why?
Because
the reporter's gone.
The reporter's gone. Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
What do you get when you cross a Mexican and an octopus?
What?
I don't know, but I sure can pick some lettuce.
Oh, my God.
Rob enjoyed that. Don liked it.
God. Like that?
Octopus.
Octopus.
What do you get? Octopus.
Don and Mike, hello, make Wendell laugh.
Okay, so a grasshopper walks into a bar. The bartender's like, we got a drink named after you. Grasshopper says, you have a drink named Steve?
Hello, Don and Mike. That one made Mike and Buzz laugh.
Yeah.
And Rob.
Rob.
Not me, not Wendell.
Mm.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Two words. Hamster nipples.
Negative. Hi, make Wendell laugh.
Yeah, some time ago there was a story about the prisons combining all the meat to make prison loaves for the prisoners. Now, to be more politically correct, they're giving vegetarians tossed salad.
Right. Thanks for wasting our time.
Oh.
Hi. Please make Wendell laugh.
Or something.
Hello, pay attention.
Hello.
Or just keep listening to the radio.
Turn your radio down.
Oh, forget it. Let me just remind our dumber listeners, these are unscreened calls. Make Wendell laugh. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What would Princess Diana be doing right now if she was alive?
Be doing the lid of the casket.
Is she screaming, let me out of here?
Yeah.
Screaming, let me out of here.
Oh, my God.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Wendell laugh.
Old.
Yeah, a proctologist walks into a bank, goes to cash his check, reaches into his shirt and pulls out a rectal thermometer. He shakes his head and says, damn it, some a-hole's got my pen.
Don and Mike, hi, make Wendell laugh.
So the head of Iraqi security calls all of Saddam's 8 lookalikes into a room and he says, we've got good news and we've got bad news. The good news, the boss is still alive. The bad news, he's lost an arm.
That made everybody in this room laugh.
Come on, Wendell.
Kind of, except Wendell.
Damn. Wow. Have a good day, guys.
Right. That's good, though. And it sounds like it might be an original.
Timely.
Hey.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, did you hear about the new Exorcist movie?
Not yet.
And a woman hires the devil to get the priest out of her son.
All right.
Okay.
That's a lame reaction.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. You haven't heard that? All right. No.
That's old.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Donna, Mike.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a tribe of...
No, wrong. You're disqualified.
Why?
Because the straight line. I hate fluffing the straight line. You want to start all over again?
Yes.
Robbie, you got to fix that machine
okay.
So I can hit that.
Wendell, what's the difference between a tribe of intelligent pygmies and the University of Maryland women's cross-country team?
Don't know.
It's got something to do with running C-word.
One is a band of cunning runts.
All right. Come on, Dan. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell.
Yeah?
Did you hear about the new cereal that's on the market?
No.
It's called Quiros. You add milk to it, and it eats each other.
Oh, my God.
Please, Di. Hello, Donna Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, what's going on, Wendell?
I don't know.
Hey, you going to go to that barbecue?
What barbecue?
I slap my meat on your grill.
Who are these people?
That made me laugh, though.
It's just, you know, it's all about attitude.
Hello.
And delivery. Mm-hmm. It made no sense, but we laughed.
I slap my meat on your grill. Donna Mike, hello, make Wendell laugh.
Oops.
All right, hi.
What about that last
You're time. On the air, make Wendell laugh.
Hi, what does Chuck Heston call his favorite gun?
What's that?
The tree?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Old, though. We had it last time.
I know, but it's so funny. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
I'm tickling you, Wendell.
I'm tickling you.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hi. What 4Ds are sometimes humorous, but usually sad and pathetic?
Donna.
Drunk, deaf, divorced, disc jockey. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Wendell laugh.
Guys sitting in a bar, bartender says, what'll it be? He's like, I need 7 shots of whiskey, make them doubles. Guy slams them all down in about 3 minutes. Bartender goes, damn, you drink this fast. He goes, yeah, you drink fast too if you have what I have. He's like, what you got? I got a buck.
Please seek help. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Superman is flying over Gotham City and is feeling a little randy.
Honey, hold on. It's Superman over Metropolis, and is this the one about the Invisible Man?
Yeah.
Right. We've all seen the movie Hollow Man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, there was a black guy and a white guy that worked together, and the white guy used to come to work happy all the time, and the black guy's like, man, what's your secret? Why are you always so happy? And the white guy's like, when I wake up in the morning, me and my wife make love, and he's like, well, how do you do that? And he's like, I just say little pant hair. And he's like, well, what are you saying? He's like, I say blonde hair, eyes say blue. All I want to do is make love to you. And the black guy's like, yeah, I got to try that. So the next day, the black guy comes in all beat up and bruised up. And the white guy's like, man, what happened to you? The black guy's like, I don't know. I did what you said. And the white guy's like, well, what'd you say? And he said, I said, nappy head, eyes like a frog.
Yeah, all right. F you.
Hello, Don, my
dumbass.
Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Don and Mike, Wendell.
Uh-huh.
Guy's jogging down the beach, and he comes across this really good-looking girl, and she's sitting there on the sand, and she has no arms and legs, and she's crying. And he says, what's the matter? She says, well, I'm 18, and I've never been kissed. And so he looks around, and somebody there, and he bends down and gives her a kiss. Next day, he comes jogging down the beach, and she's sitting there on the sand again, no arms and legs, and she's really pretty, and she's crying. And he says, well, what's wrong now? She says, well, I'm 18, and I've never been hugged. So he looks around, and he gives her a hug. Third day, he comes jogging down again, and she's sitting there crying. He goes, well, what's... No. And she says, well, I'm 18 and I've never been asked. So he looks around, he picks her up, and he throws her in the water, and he says, well, you're F now.
You ever heard that one?
No.
Yeah. That's the only reason I didn't laugh is because I've heard it.
Hi, Donna.
Laughed the first time I heard it.
Make Wendell laugh.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, thank you. What do you call a fart in Iraq?
What?
A biological weapon of ass destruction.
Oh, Donna Mike. Hi, make one to laugh.
Hi, guy works at a radio station as an engineer. Program manager is always getting on his butt about give me this, give me that. So he gets his revenge when he hires a woman named Helen Waite, and he tells his program manager to go to Helen Waite.
Take your own life. Hello, Donna Mike. Make one to laugh.
Is it any different when you kiss down there and you kiss a woman with a mustache?
Huh?
I don't understand either.
Huh? Hello, Donna Mike. Oh, we're down to the 2-minute warning. Make Wendell laugh. Hello.
Hey.
This may be one of those episodes we don't get a winner.
Hey,
Make Wendell laugh.
Wendell.
Yes.
There's all this debate in the international community as to what that knob at the end of a man's junk is for. So the English and the French and the Irish all decide to put some research into it.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Hello, Donna Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
How do you tell if your roommate is gay?
How's that?
Does D taste like F? Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Yeah, lady walks into the bar, says to the bartender, beer tender, give me a triple martini and put a pickle in it. The bartender gives her a double martini, and she drinks it down. The bartender, give me another triple martini, better put a pickle in it. The bartender gives her another double martini, now in it, she drinks it down. She says, beer tender, give me one more triple martini, but you better put two pickles in it. I'm getting heartburn. The bartender says, look, lady, it ain't beer tender, it's bartender. It ain't a martini, it's a martini. It ain't a triple, it's a double. It ain't a pickle.
Can you say the two words?
No, you can't. You know, that would have been okay if the guy could have gotten it out.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. It ain't heartburn. You got your boob in the ashtray. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, F you. F you, Don and Mike. F you.
Hello, Don and Mike. Meg Wendell laugh.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, Hannibal and his son are walking through the woods looking for food. They run across a fat lady, and the kid gets all excited. He's got food, and the father says, no, 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 she's fat. She'll be gristly. She won't be any good to eat, so they keep on going. They run across a skinny lady, and the kid gets all excited again and says, there's food, and he says, nah, she doesn't have any meat on her bones. She's no good. They walk on down the road a little ways, and they see this gorgeous woman standing out in the field working, and the kid gets all excited again and says, Dad, there's food, and the father says, okay, son, I'll hit her over the head, throw her over my shoulder. We'll take her home and eat your mother.
There's a long way to go for nothing.
Oh. How can you put us through that journey?
That was like the last 15 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Caller's amused.
Oh, yes, she loved it.
I'll make him laugh.
All right, go ahead, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, I'm on. I'm sick of all these lame jokes, Wendell.
Imagine
this situation. You're trying to get your buddy back in college. You drop a bomb on the top of the toilet every time you
flush. Checker, sir.
And you can't use the S bomb.
And if you want the name for that, really, the name of that is
Upper Decker.
Yeah, and you actually lift the lid up on the back of the toilet and you drop one in there.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey.
Make Wendell laugh.
Okay. You got Boudreaux standing there pumping gas. You ain't got no good memory. The guy pulls up on the other side. He starts pumping gas. He said, you know a good place to eat around here? He said, yeah. My wife took me out last night to a good place. He said, but man, you gotta help me. I can't remember the name of that place. He said, picture a red flower with a thorn on it. He said, you ain't a rose? He said, yeah, that's it. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that place we ate at last night?
I hope God kills you tonight, slowly and painfully. Slowly, painfully.
That's Louisiana humor down there. But, I mean, it's not all Louisiana. It's just a type of Boudreaux.
Don and Mike, hello. Make Wendell laugh.
Wendell.
Yes?
A guy's wife is complaining about her small breasts. He tells her he knows how to make them humongous. He says, just rub some wadded-up toilet paper between them every day. She says, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. That won't work. He says, of course it will. It worked on your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Is that Pete Johnson?
Make Wendell laugh.
Hi, Wendell. Will you use your protein gun and father my child?
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell.
Yo.
What's the next best thing to having deer?
You know, can't say that, can we?
That's going to be deleted out. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hi, this is Surf.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, what does an old woman taste like?
What's that?
Depends.
Depends.
We've had. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
What do you call a Chinaman with constipation?
What?
Hung Chow. Click.
And now we have...
Click is funny.
Okay, now we have a decision to make.
Who knew?
We could go another break with this. And I think it's unfair to ask the callers, because all the people who are calling...
will want us to go another break.
...are the people who think we
of
should
course.
Go another break.
Yes.
Where can we get an objective opinion?
I'm not objective today.
What do you think?
I always like to do it, but not for the right reasons. Because it's kind of like the same reason, Don, that... You know how you told me to leave the casino? That's the reason. It's not rational.
Let me ask someone who I know is hanging on every word of this show. Someone who listens every day, every second.
Right. Yeah. He knows the show better than anyone in this room.
Yeah, the guy is he's a fanatic about the show.
Loves it.
Listens all the time.
Hello, this is Alan Linewand, Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK Radio. I'm unavailable right now, so please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks, and have a nice day.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you. I'm quitting my TV show. Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
All right, how about,
Colette?
Oh, no, she's gone. It's after 5:30, Mike.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's 5:39. Is there a chance she'd be hanging 9 minutes later?
Yeah.
Now, that would make us laugh. We try Infinity Vice President of Muckety Mucks, Michael Hughes.
Oh, very good.
I spoke with him earlier today. You've heard him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's our new big boss.
Mm-hmm. He likes to laugh.
Sure.
Michael Hughes.
Michael Hughes, it's Don and Mike, and we're on the air.
Don and Mike, we're on the air.
How are you, Michael?
Are you busy now? Are you house shopping, or have you been listening to our show at all?
Bits and pieces, but not really.
Okay, we need an objective opinion. We've gone two breaks with Make Wendell Laugh, and we don't have a winner yet.
Still trying to get somebody to make Wendell laugh.
Should we go a third break? What do you think?
We're letting somebody objectively make the call.
Is there any hope that anybody can make Wendell laugh? Wendell's not the happiest guy on the planet.
There's
a possibility.
No, we've seen Wendell laugh to the point where spit bubbles are coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. So the answer to your question would be, there is hope.
There is hope.
What do you think?
Go for it.
All right.
There you go. Thanks.
Michael made the call, so we are not responsible if it's another bad sign.
The next break sucks. It's Michael Hughes' fault.
There you go. Thanks for taking the bullet for us, Michael.
Thanks, Mike. And tell Jay we said hi.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day.
Good day.
All right. Well, you heard it from the vice president.
I do feel, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know what? Whenever we're in a similar situation, whether it's Alan Limewand or Michael Hughes, do that. Because you know what? I feel completely relieved now.
However, when we come back, I'm going to tell you this, and I mean it, because we do want to get two segments, real segments of news today.
All right.
12 minutes is the best offer I can give you.
I urge people, not the old stuff, if you know one, please, try to get through.
I'm like CarMax.
Yeah.
12 minutes is all I can give you.
It's a good offer.
That's it. I can't go any lower. We'll be right back.
This Sorry, Mike. Sorry. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's go ahead and take a call from Rob, listening in Virginia. Hello, Rob.
How are you, gentlemen?
Fine. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I just wanted to relate what it was like. I'm 25 years old, and I was born and raised in New York City, and I went to New York City public school. And while attending public school, I was attending catechism to make my communion and then my confirmation. And the way I was raised was to ask questions and to explore different theories if you will.
Sure.
And as I'm attending catechism, learning the theories behind creationism, when I personally believe that with creationism and through the evolution of however man may turn out, I believe that we're all going to become BM eaters on the Don and Mike show.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate so much what you've tried to share with us.
The Don and Mike Show.
They'll gladly run around in circles for ye, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let me see. We're going to get a winner here. I know it on Meg Wendell Lab for the trip to Las Vegas. Tonight, I'd love to meet you. Me and my my lovely, oops. Hold on, you playing the wrong music. That's the music I was looking for. Me and my wonderful Connie Honey will be at the Brian Mitchell 2003 Charity Bash. I'll be your celebrity, what it says, celebrity auctioneer.
Well, that's exactly what you are.
Tonight, all in the name of charity, to honor Brian Mitchell, the Redskins, the Eagles, and now the Giants. The Orange Ball, 430 Hungerford Drive, Rockville, Maryland. $50.
I had one of those one time.
Get you a buffet.
Hurts.
Two drink tickets, and you get to play pool with your favorite NFL stars.
I'm angry.
See you there tonight.
Have you ever had the Orange Ball?
Tomorrow, and I got it right now. Tomorrow, Mr. Skin.
Yay!
Plus, you'll get the recap. I'm going back to see the foot doctor tomorrow.
Oh, and you know, I tell you, the toe looked A-OK over the weekend when I saw when you took the outer cookie off of it.
I showed it to my wife. I showed it to my wife last night, and her comment was, it looks like your toe had liposuction.
Really? Yeah, so it got a little thinner.
It still looks effed up, though.
Right.
Give me that update. And let me also quickly mention how we're giving away tomorrow's vacation to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Hi. How you doing?
Mike's Mansion.
How are you, girls?
Girls, this contest is for women only. You come down, you present yourself to Mike.
All of us, actually. I want to make sure that I sell it based on the fact that you guys are here, too. Because, you know, not that I'm insecure at all, Don, but if I say it's just me, we won't get anyone. Go ahead.
But you present yourself to Mike. We're all in the room.
Yeah.
But you present yourself to Mike.
I'm going to recruit everybody to help me out with this. As a matter of fact, if you really want to sell this for people coming down to audition for Mike's Mansion.
Yeah.
That's the man who ought to be selling it right there.
All right, Buzz. Yeah. The bet is 16 seconds long. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell the gals what we're looking for tomorrow?
Hey, baby. Want to go to Vegas? Want to meet Mike O'Mara? Want to get naked for Mike?
There you go.
That's the way to win. Come on down and present yourself.
That's tomorrow. Our doors open at 3. Girls, come on by.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be an ongoing
contest
thing during the show.
All right.
Until Mike decides he's got a winner.
I'll decide at the end of the show.
Now, today's trip to Vegas, courtesy of Veramax.
Mm-hmm.
Told you to give you 12, and that's all I got. 12 minutes.
12 on the clock or 12 counting what you've already said?
12. There's the mystery. You know what? If we did it in 10, man, we'd be right on time for the news.
We would.
10 is pretty substantial.
10 is good.
Go for 10.
You know what? And today, we'd really flip people out if we really went with long news segments.
Right.
Because that's the goal, and every day we F it up.
It's a good day to go for long news segments.
Hey, and besides,
it's a lot of news today.
Besides, we've given you folks two chances. 10 minutes, right?
10 minutes.
Fair enough.
10 valuable minutes. Make Wendell laugh with a trip to Las Vegas. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
You're on the air. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell, how do you fit 40 Jews in a Volkswagen?
No, no, no.
Rob, what's the answer?
Hey, can we... yeah, Rob will know that.
Hello.
Rob, you ought to make that disclaimer. No bigots, please.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Make Wendell laugh.
What did the blind boy get for Christmas?
What's that? What?
Cancer.
Hmm.
They're sick, aren't they, Buzz?
And they must be.
Who's laughing?
It doesn't matter.
Don and Rob, but
it doesn't matter. It's
Glenn
cancer, Bush. It's blind, it's affliction.
Just me, affliction. Hello, Don and Mike.
People less fortunate than ourselves.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Wendell.
Yes?
Yeah, what would you call Martha Burke inside the gates at Augusta National?
Mm-hmm.
Hootie Booty.
Don and Mike. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell. You have a donkey and I have a rooster. Your donkey eats my rooster's legs. What do you got?
I heard a laugh from another room.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I make Wendell laugh.
Okay, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and all the bats just came in from their nightly feeding out. But all the bats are there except for Henry. A couple hours later, Henry shows up, and all the bats wake up because they smell nice, fresh blood, and they get all excited. They're like, Henry, Henry, take us to the blood, please. Henry's like, gosh, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. And they're like, no, come on, let's go. So they're like, okay. So Henry leaves, and all the other bats are following him. They're flying. About an hour passes, and the bats are like, Henry, we're almost there, we're almost there. And they're like, yeah, yeah, so here we go, here we go. Finally, Henry stops in the air, and the other bats go, are we there, are we there? And Henry goes, yeah, see that tree over there? And the other bats go, yeah. Henry goes, I didn't.
I really hope something bad happens inside your underpants.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell.
Yeah.
Hey, a guy gets up in the morning. He tells his wife, come on, you got to go hunting with me. She says, I don't want to go hunting. He says, well, you got 3 choices. You either got to go hunting with me, you can S my D, or you can receive sex in the no-no.
We've heard this one before.
Yeah, and it would take, believe me, it would take an hour with this guy telling
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
2 men are out golfing when a funeral procession starts to roll by through the guy to the middle of one of the guy's chip shots.
So I was married to her.
He stops.
Right?
Thank you, Mike. Thanks. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
What does a gay horse eat?
Donna, what does a gay horse eat?
Hey.
Donna, Mike, hi, make Wendell laugh.
Hello?
Yeah.
2 Irish guys walk out of a bar. It could happen.
Right, you got Mike and Rob with that.
Yeah, like...
Hello, Donna, Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell, you hear the news about Claudia Schiffer?
Uh-uh.
She got a divorce, and she decided to remarry a man by the name of Robert Brains, but against the wishes of her family, she's decided to hyphenate her last name.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia Schifferbrain.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hello, Wendell, buddy.
Hello.
Why do men snore when they lie on their backs?
Don't know.
Because their balls fall over their brown star and they vapor lock.
Hello, Don and Mike. Please make Wendell laugh.
Okay, a guy picks up an older lady from a bar, takes her home, decides to give her some oral. He goes down and smells an awful smell, pokes his head up and says, my God, what is that smell? I'd love to do that for you, but I can't do it. She says, it must be my arthritis. Says, I've never heard of arthritis affecting the smell down there. Says, no, it's in my shoulder. Well, how does that make it smell bad down there? She says, I can't wipe my ass.
Jesus.
Simple.
Yeah.
We laughed.
Hello,
Don and I laughed.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Oh, man, let's make this quick. When they say 4 out of 5 people suffer from diarrhea, does that mean the 5th person enjoys it?
Let's make this fast. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Wendell, what has a small weenie and hangs down?
Dunno, what does?
A vampire bat. What has a big weenie and hangs up?
I don't know.
Me.
Don and Mike, hello. Make Wendell laugh.
Hey, Wendell, what's the difference between Mick Jagger and a Scottish sheep farmer?
Got me.
Mick Jagger says, hey, you, get off of my cloud. And the Scottish sheep farmer says, hey, my cloud, get off of my you.
Wow, that's like...
You know, you even like McCloud, Don.
Don and Mike, McCloud! McCloud, get me McCloud! Don and Mike, hello.
What?
Yeah, make Wendell laugh.
Come on.
What? Why do Scottish wear
no, skirts? You're not qualified.
Yes, yes.
No. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Yeah, hey, Wendell, let's get our guns and just go shoot some people.
He smiled. Wendell's... I think our audience has driven Wendell into kind of a coma.
Yes.
Right
hello,
now.
Don and Mike.
Wake up a little bit, Wendell. Come on, wake up.
Make Wendell laugh.
Don't put any... I'm not putting any pressure on him.
Hello, make Wendell laugh.
I'm trying to get mad at our listeners now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
These calls have not been the worst calls we've ever had for this game.
Between
hello,
drinking coffee and sucking a D.
Wait, yeah, what? You started
start early. Again.
Do you know the difference, Wendell, between making having a cup of coffee and sucking a D?
Maybe.
Do you want to go to Starbucks?
Huh?
Hello, Don and Mike show. I don't know. Make Wendell laugh.
Hello, Wendell.
Yeah.
What do you call two hookers standing on either side of a friend with a broken leg?
I don't know.
Support hose.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Hi. God is my co-pilot, but I crashed in the woods and I had to eat him.
Make Wendell laugh.
Little boy goes to his dad. He says, Dad, what's a vagina look like? And I says, well, son, before sex, a vagina looks like a beautiful pink rose, smells like springtime. He says, well, Dad, what's a vagina look like after sex? I says, well, son, you ever see a bulldog eat mayonnaise?
Don and Mike, hello. Make Wendell laugh.
Yeah, why?
No, that made Buzz laugh.
Buzz? I enjoyed that.
Buzz
dug that one.
See, the thing is, when Buzz laughs, he doesn't laugh. Buzz will put his hand over his mouth.
Dude, I was afraid to be alone.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Wendell, why is divorce so expensive?
Don't know.
It's worth it.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Hello. A mother and her child are driving down the freeway when the mother realizes she's following Lorena Bobbitt. Something flies out the window and hits the windshield. The little boy asks, Mom, what was that? Mom says it's just a bug. The little boy says, well, that bug has the biggest D I'd ever seen.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Timely.
I know something about Wendell. I know he's an ass man. You want to know why I know that?
Why?
Whenever they talk about Wendell, they say, he's an ass man.
Don and Mike, hello, make Wendell laugh.
Wendell!
What?
Hey, did you hear about the movie star that went to CBS?
Not yet.
Yeah, when he came out, got hit by a car.
What? You know, if you throw the punchline away.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
No mumbling.
Hey, Wendell.
Yo.
Hey, what did the blonde say when she looked at a box of Cheerios?
What's that?
Oh, look, donut thieves.
Don and Mike, hello, make Wendell laugh.
Me, you know, and you got to work hard. Blonde jokes are usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
These people have found the worst blonde.
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear about the agnostic, dyslexic, insomniac?
Mm-mm.
You laid awake all night wondering if there really is a dog.
Don and Mike, hello, make Wendell laugh. Hello?
Wendell.
Yo.
Hey, Wendell, what's the difference between my ass and Lisa's ass?
Don't know.
Mine isn't big.
Don and Mike, hello, and there is your two-minute warning. Don and Mike, hello?
What did honorable Chinese DJ say to Hooker?
What?
Rick D's nuts.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh. That one made him smile.
Mm-hmm.
Make Wendell laugh. Hi.
Wendell, how do you tell if an engineer is a people person?
How's that?
He stares at your shoes.
That didn't make you laugh, Wendell?
No, maybe not.
That made everybody else in the room laugh. Hello, Don Mike.
Great joke.
What's the difference between a hooker and a drug dealer?
What's that?
A hooker can wash her crack and sell it again.
A hooker can what?
Wash her
crack
and
sell it again.
Oh,
Don Mike. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Hurry.
Yeah, why was JFK Sr. a terrible boxer?
What?
Why was JFK Sr. a terrible boxer?
Why?
Because he couldn't take a shot to the head.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Wendell laugh.
Coming soon to a theater near you. A love he could not understand with a man he barely knew. Tom Cruise, Vanilla Guy.
Don and Mike, hello.
Two gay guys standing up at a urinal. One of them says, hey, how's that quit smoking thing working out for you? He says, oh, it's great. And one guy looks down and he happens to see the patch on the guy's tool. And he goes, hey, I think that patch works better if you put it on your arm. And he says, no, it works great. I'm down to two butts a day.
That made me laugh. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's about the butt.
See, I get it.
It's
gay
the butt.
Yeah. Hello, make Wendell laugh.
Hello?
You better hurry.
What's the difference between Jesus and a picture of Jesus?
What?
It only takes one nail to hang the picture.
Don and Mike, make Wendell laugh.
Why don't witches wear underwear?
Why?
Better grip on the broom.
And, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
What, did that make you laugh?
Yeah.
Well, that's a,
the engineer joke was solid.
Yeah.
All right.
We all laughed at the engineer joke, but it's
Wendell,
old.
Thank you for your
time.
It's old.
He'd
it's
heard
old.
It. Yeah. Oh, you'd heard it. Oh, that's the reason. Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Wendell.
Thank you for having me in.
Here he is, Wendell.
Thanks, Wendell Hall. He's an honest man. Yeah. Something made him laugh, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? I didn't think, since you heard that engineer joke, there was not one other joke I thought that really was over the top funny.
Nothing stood out, no.
Well, come on. What about the blind kid?
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Right. Okay, you too.
The bulldog.
He got cancer. Here they go. Look at him.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give the good news is we'll give the trip to Vegas away to someone who was listening to the whole show today, but not right now.
Very good.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
You know, there's about 10 funny jokes. I think I laughed more than 10 times.
We all laughed at some of them.
Yeah.
I don't think we went nuts at any of them, except the blind kid with cancer that you guys really... not you guys, actually. Rob laughed a little bit. Don, you came out of your shoes.
But what's your lead story today?
Today, the latest casualty of the war on Iraq may be the career of Janine Garofalo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really, old corduroy pants,
Interesting.
Huh?
Interesting.
All right, talking about Stinky Poon.
She has a good grip on her broom.
That cart's uncued. Did you hear it just cue up?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comment
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Look at this, we're on time.
Wow.
God damn, that's very
promotional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Warning, the following program features no actual coitus. The Don and Mike Show.
And for most news, brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure, a performance enhancer, doctor developed,
not culture doctor,
clinically tested Viramax works, get it at Rite Aid, GSC, and other select retailers. Try it today, Viramax, 1-888-TRY-VMAX. I mentioned we'll give away the trip to Vegas.
Uh-huh.
We will. But there's always one guy that calls and says he's got the joke.
Always.
The joke. That would win. Now, Greg from Philly. Greg.
Hey, what's up, Don?
WYSP. We have confirmed this is his phone number.
Ah, very good.
If this joke makes us laugh, you win the trip to Las Vegas.
Really?
Robbie?
Point of order. It really should be Wendell.
Well,
you want to bring Wendell back in here?
Take too much time.
All right,
You know, stop at the point of orders.
All right, Harumph, give the governor Harumph.
If it makes us laugh, you win. Otherwise, we'll give out your phone number.
Okay,
go.
Why do they name hurricanes after women's names?
Why?
Because when they come, they're wet and wild, and when they go, they take your house and your car with them.
Old. I think all of us have heard it.
That is why I knew there was no need to go get Wendell.
Save time.
However, everybody.
No, wait.
Call this guy.
Wait a second.
610.
Tell me, hold on.
789.
Hold on. No.
5170. You agreed to it.
All right, wait, hold on a second. Give me a chance to get out of this.
No, you agreed to it.
One now, joke. We've already announced
you. Get out of this.
You had your joke.
We've already announced your phone number, so it's too late for that.
610-789-5170. There you go. Bye-bye. Now, on to Buzz and the news.
The career of comic actress Janine Garofalo may go missing in action because of her outspoken criticism of President Bush and the war on Iraq. Supporters of the president have been bombarding ABC with calls and emails complaining about the sitcom it's developing for her. If the show ever gets on the air, she'll play a producer at a TV news magazine.
It's called My Pants Are Brown. My Brown Corduroys.
This fall on ABC, Janine Garofalo in Skid.
But pro-war protesters are threatening a campaign against the network and its advertisers if the show does get on the air. One angry citizen wrote, "We do not wish to see the faces of liberal Hollywood, particularly those who provided aid and comfort to Saddam Hussein."
No, I got the name of her new sitcom.
Uh-huh.
Janine Garofalo in Stools.
This Wednesday on ABC.
ABC and Garofalo have no comment. It's an all-star cast, a Hollywood producer's dream. Denzel Washington, Bruce Willis, and Arnold Schwarzenegger together. But not in the movie. In a lawsuit. Together, they're suing Fry's Electronics, a retail chain that's been using their pictures in its newspaper ads.
Often electronic stores use celebrity pictures to fill in the screens of the TVs they advertise.
And I says...
He says, I'm so angry. They're using the faces of the stars that they don't have enough money.
Usually some kind of deal is made to make this possible, but Denzel, Bruce, and Arnold say they made no such deal. And they say the ads make it appear they're endorsing the store and its products.
Well, let's see, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what is your comment?
Yeah. What they can expect from Jingle All the Way is a hilarious movie, a movie where they will be able to laugh from the beginning to the end. It will be great entertainment. They will walk out of the theater and say, I'm so angry that I can't get another ticket right away because I want to see it a second time. And there's a long line here.
Entertainment. E-N-D-E-R-D-A-I-N-D-E-N-T.
Well, Arnold's so angry.
He says.
And Bruce is so angry, and Denzel's so angry, they all want $10 million each.
I have a son that is dying for playing with his father. He's dying to have the latest of the toys. And he's talking about this Turbo Man doll. And I play one of those fathers and husband that is too busy.
Too busy.
Back in February, the entire cast of The Sopranos sued Best Buy for doing the same thing with their faces.
Hi, Dynamite. We appreciate it. Thank you. We hardly ever play that one all the way through.
Wasn't Rob loaded when he did that?
Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Hi, Dynamite. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The thrice-married Lisa Marie Presley has reportedly turned to John Travolta for romance advice.
Hello, is this John Travolta?
Yeah, D'Deutsch.
That's the romance advice.
How are you, Lisa? D'Deutsch.
Travolta described Elvis's kid as, quote, kind of like my surrogate daughter.
My daughter. That is an insult to my daughter, to my doctor.
Yeah, but bacon tastes good. Pork chops taste good.
They're all junk. I don't eat them.
C'est la vie.
Travolta says it was he who got Lisa and her mom Priscilla involved in the Church of Scientology.
This day and age, you can't even get married to Michael Jackson.
Jack DeDoyce.
Travolta says even Elvis would be into Scientology if he hadn't died.
Elvis would be into Scientology if it was in pill form.
Lisa Marie is looking out for her health, though. She's postponing the Toronto leg of her promotional tour because of the outbreak of SARS. Toronto.
SARS!
And, of course, is the respiratory disease that spread from Asia. 10 people have now died from it in Canada.
You know, for the longest time, I thought it was people who bought the awful... movie channel Stars.
Right. No, Don. You take the T away at SARS.
Yeah.
And you know, for quite some long time, all I knew is what you told me.
Lisa Marie's been out promoting her new CD. Bono and Pavarotti together again. The front man for U2 and the oversized opera tenor teamed up nearly 10 years ago in a benefit concert for the children of Bosnia after the war there.
Ah, Luciano.
Now they're planning another concert, this time for refugees from the Iraqi war.
Hello, my friend. Luciano Pavarotti.
The refugees can be found in Jordan, Syria, and Iran, all of which border Iraq.
Hey, Bono.
Yeah, Luciano.
Hold my finger.
Are you going to tut? He just tutted. It's bloody good. Speaking of blood, there's blood in his stall. His stalls are bloody.
The show's been set for May 27th in Pavarotti's hometown in northern Italy.
Oh, man, I think he hit mood. Oh, his pants are moody. Have you been sliding in the mood, Luciano?
How much is that dog face in the window? This is the story of a 3-year-old Pekingese who beat out 22,000 other doggies to win the top prize at a recent dog show in England. Biggest dog show in the world. And then came the newspaper report that Danny the Pekingese had undergone a facelift. That's right, plastic surgery for a dog.
Oh, God.
Really? Oh, that dog should be at the Deborah Dean going away Botox party.
Oh, God.
How?
Danny's owners deny this. The Kennel Club is investigating. New York radio guy Scott Shannon.
Shannon!
A friend of Don's was in Las Vegas yesterday being inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters.
Shannon in the morning.
Their Hall of Fame.
Quoting Shannon.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
Scott Shannon. He's also a program director. Quoting him, cracking the mic and going on the air is the part I like.
That devalues the Radio Hall of Fame.
Really?
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
You guys, like the guy.
Scott Shannon.
I love him. I love every hee-haw, goddamn old school radio thing about
Hello,
him.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon. Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
Pepo Mint, Winto Green, or traditional five flavor.
Right now.
You can do it now.
I even still like him when he lectures me about saying goddamn.
Yeah, man, that's not good. He doesn't like that?
No. He likes everything else on the show.
Uh-huh.
But he says,
man, why do you guys say that?
Come on, man. And he'll say to me, that's not you. You don't say that in real life. I say, yes, I do. And so do you. I said, no, I don't. I said, oh, the Scott Shannon that I knew used to say it all the time. And that's when I get the serious. That Scott Shannon is gone.
Wow.
Right. The new one's got the facelift and the new wife and the two kids.
You've got a strange relationship with that man.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
It's love, it's hate.
No, I love him. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Well, he just kind of turned into a prick.
Other than that.
Sometimes he's a prick.
Shannon in the morning.
Aren't we all sometimes?
Although I did hear gotta have a third phone call. You know, he used to work at Z100 with Ross Britton.
Right.
And I guess Ross Britton, who's another disc jockey, called in to Shannon's morning show to congratulate him.
Oh, Shannon, the Hall of Fame thing.
Shannon works with another guy. Shannon's not like, you know, Mike and I are not like most DJ couples.
Right.
Most DJ couples, they work with each other for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they fake it for 2 or 3 years, and then eventually they bust up.
Mm-hmm.
So Shannon's been through his share of partners, but he had his greatest notoriety with this guy, Ross Britton.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I heard the story was yesterday on the air, they said, Scott, we have a surprise for you. And you know, he said, hey, Scott, it's Ross Britton.
Right.
And Shannon said, like, all right, nice talking to you. Thanks for calling. You can never work here. I hung up on it.
Wow.
And it was allegedly done as a joke.
As a bit.
But I know the...
Shannon in the morning.
Shannon in the morning that I know really still hates him.
Oh, really?
Humor.
Still hates
him. That's pretty funny.
The best Shannon story ever, though.
Yeah, the rent-a-car?
Well, you don't know. Huh? There's two.
Oh?
There's the time that I was sick and he was on the air.
Oh, right.
And he didn't know how to work the microphone.
And he said the F word.
But the best Scott Shannon story ever is the one where Murphy in the morning, Robert Murphy, worked at Big Ways in Charlotte, W-A-Y-S, and every year he had a pig roast. And Shannon and I went down there, and it was at this guy's house, which is an old-style southern mansion. And I mean booze, drugs, women, and really, a pig roast.
Mm.
Our flight to get back to D.C. left at 7 o'clock Sunday night. 5 o'clock, Shannon is still doing all the stuff we're doing.
Putting.
I said, we're going to miss the plane.
Right.
I said, boy, Super Shannon never misses a plane. All right. Talk about himself.
This is pre-security.
Yeah.
Talk about himself third person.
The old Shannon.
We leave Murphy in the morning's house at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
Our plane is leaving the Charlotte airport at 7.
It's close.
He's driving about 100 miles an hour in this old Cadillac. We pull up in front of whatever the airline was. And he says, that's it. Let's go catch our plane, boy. And I said, Shan, you got to return the rental car. No, I don't. He got out of the car, and this was before the age of boop boop, where you lock your car like this, right? Engine still running. Says to me, hey, Juan, lock the door.
Yeah.
All right. I locked the door. As we're walking out of the car, we leave the car running.
Leave the car with the keys inside, running,
engine
locked.
Running, a rental car.
Door's locked.
A cop says, you can't leave the car there. Shannon says, we'll be right back. We go in,
And he's right. We make the airplane.
You take off. Meanwhile, the car is still there running.
We're on the plane, and as he's being served his first drink on the airplane,
yeah.
I said, what about the car?
Yeah.
Oh, son, they got my American Express. it's fine. Mm-hmm. And he was right.
Yeah.
He did it.
It was fine.
Nothing ever happened.
No.
They got their car.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine. Just somebody had to do a little extra work, and you had to make the plane.
And one more.
Mm-hmm.
He was my program director, greatest yeah. program director I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
He would let me do anything because he was always into, you know, it, just try it. If it doesn't work, don't worry about it.
He was supportive. Yeah.
So one time I got offered a job somewhere, and he said, "Well, I got to get you a car.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get you a free car, so you don't take this job." So. I was thinking, well, this guy's got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But as it turns out,
yeah.
it was a deal so he could get a car, too. So, this was back in 1980. Mazda Miata, when they first came out.
Right.
So, I got a red one. He got a blue one.
Wow.
And as it turns out, they were convertibles. Nice cars.
Cool.
He got some kind of a lease deal. And he said, you know, so now you don't take this other job. I get you a car. One day, we come into work. And we look out the window, and goddamn, it is pouring rain outside.
Oh, no.
And somebody says, an intern comes up and says, "Hey, Shan, you left your top down." Now, because he refused to admit that he had made this mistake, he said, "I did it on purpose." And everybody looks at him, and he says, "You don't know. I put soap on the interior of my car and left the top down hoping it would rain, so when I go down there, my car, the interior, because I don't have vinyl seats, because I have seats that are made out of material, it will be sparkling clean."
Wow.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
He had the BS ready before the question was asked.
So for a while, the catchphrase around the station was, "I did it on purpose." Whenever anybody asked anything, the answer
right.
was always, "I did it on purpose."
Wow, that must have been a great day.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
What a guy. Yeah,
all right, listen.
All
Buzz?
Yeah.
We got to break, but first.
Yes, boys.
Nice. Touchstones, Robbie.
Oh, you want to do it?
Call 100.
Ah.
Let's do this now. I'm going to ask a question about something that happened. Very oily in today's show.
I like this game.
If you've listened to the whole show today, you'll know the answer immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Be the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636. Win a trip to Las Vegas. We'll be back. More news, more comments right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Just a couple of hard-working white guys. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, Buzzy, we got plenty of time here. We're not rushed like we normally are. Let's see if we can give away this trip to Las Vegas.
Very good.
But you have to have listened to the whole show.
The show as a whole.
I mean, the whole Megillah. Really. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, I was just wondering what your address is, because I wanted to come by for the contest or whatever tomorrow.
Ooh, of course you do.
Hold on, please. That would be for the Mike's Mansion
mm-hmm.
contest.
Well,
yes, it is.
We're very, very excited about the prospect of having you down here tomorrow.
Hold on, please.
Okay.
Right in the middle of a contest.
I certainly enjoyed that little laugh at the end.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello, I'm calling to see about if anybody won the prize.
Yeah, someone did.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, though.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a very wonderfully exercised judgment there.
Yes. Donna Mike, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, call about the contest.
No.
Okay. Well, turn your radio down.
Okay, it's down.
Have you listened to the whole show?
I listened to part of it.
Mm.
No.
See, I was right.
Yeah.
See?
Hello, Don and Mike. Like I was
Hi, I'm ready to answer
war.
The question.
Hello.
Hi, I'm ready to answer the question.
Have you listened to the whole show?
The entire show.
Where are you calling from?
Wichita, Kansas.
KFHFM.
Very
That's
good.
Right, baby.
All right.
Make me proud.
I mentioned I had a client meeting today.
Yes.
that Mike didn't have to go to.
Yes.
Now, I told this client that there was something that Mike and I could sell. What was that something?
You guys could sell bags of ass.
Yeah! There you go. That's good. You know, that's a good listener right there.
Yeah, Wichita.
That's right.
He did Wichita proud, Buzz.
Yeah, there you go. Have a day, baby.
There you go. Congratulations. What's your name?
My name's Jay.
You won the Viramax Vegas trip for today.
Indeed.
That is a vacation for two to Las Vegas with four nights, 5 days hotel, accommodations, a round-trip airfare, Viramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. Buzz says it's great. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX to get your free supply or find a retailer near you.
That'll take the sting out of that national championship, huh?
Yeah, screw the Jayhawks. I love you guys.
There you go.
Thank you, my friend. KFH-FM in Wichita, Dallas, and tomorrow for day number four of the Vegas trips.
Hi there.
Mike's mansion.
Hi, how are you? Would you like to audition for my mansion?
Girls, come down, get semi-nude or totally nude, answer our questions, and pose for Mike.
You could be going to Las Vegas, Nevada for a fabulous getaway.
And now again, here is Buzz.
Our doors are open at 3.
Excellent.
For the first lovely to come by.
Be like that last lovely who was looking for the address. Come down, won't you?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Next up, the CEOs of this company just got $16.5 million bonuses. Viacom CEO Sumner Redstone and COO Mel Carlson.
Supposed to mention you have to be 21 to come down to be in Mike's mansion.
Absolutely. We will accept no one under the age of 21.
Unless you have a good fake ID. News about Mel. Sorry, Buzz.
Viacom execs Sumner Redstone and Mel Carlson each got $16.5 million in bonuses this past year from Viacom. Viacom owns this show, CBS, MTV, Paramount Pictures, and a host of other entertainment and advertising-related companies.
How much did they get?
Each $16.5 million. That's just the bonus.
Quick. They deserve it.
They got the bonuses because the parent company reached a specific earnings goal with them at the helm. Well, they did earn it.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, this must be why our mandatory raise has been pushed back to October.
Charlie, it's just about the shareholders.
Yeah.
Oh.
Simply a rescheduling.
It's the stockholders that matter.
Oh.
And again, congratulations to Les Moonves.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you gave her a blood test before you put the ring on her finger. That's all I want to say. About the lovely little lady.
Widow Moonves?
Yeah. No, the new one.
Oh, right.
The latest one.
The bonuses.
Who?
Les Moonves.
Did he get married?
Just got married.
Yeah, it was Sumner that got married.
Oh, no, you're right.
Ah. Sumner Redstone. Les Moonves did not just get married.
Click.
Double bonus.
Sorry. My bad.
Sumner.
Bonuses for Redstone and Carmazin are in addition to their $1 million salaries. They each also just signed new 5-year contracts to continue running Viacom.
Not their $1 million salaries, their multi-$1 million salaries.
Actually, their actual salary is $1 million a year.
Really?
Each. Yes, that's what they take. And then, of course, they get bonuses and stock options and whatever they can stuff in their pockets.
Mel's salary is $1 million a year. He spends $1 million a year on cufflinks.
He does.
Click. There they are. In an attempt to clear up some things, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD for short, doesn't mind if a lesbian uses the word dyke, but it does not like it when a straight person uses the words fag or faggot. Here's the proof.
Fag!
Rosie O'Donnell got cheers from the crowd when she said at a recent GLAAD event, quote, "People said if I came out, I'd feel different about myself. I remember thinking, shut up, I don't need your rhetoric, Nazi bitch, shut the F up," end quote. Rosie said she knew when she was 13, quoting again, she wanted to kiss a girl. "Is there one person in this room who didn't know you were a big dyke?" end quote. The head of GLAAD scowled, however, when straight actress Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City said, "I walked through the lobby and passed American flags, The group's executive director says GLAAD is trying to, quote, eliminate the word faggot from the vocabulary.
Maybe she scowled because she noticed the resemblance to Dave Foley.
That's probably it.
So they wouldn't like straight people using the word fag.
No, they don't want that. It's okay if a lesbian says dyke. This is all we know from this story. Is it's okay if a lesbian says dyke.
This but is a woman who's president of GLAAD?
Yes. Uh-huh.
No, it should be a man's decision.
Let's ask Homo Joe.
Homo Joe, how he feels.
I'd like to know how he feels about that.
Right.
Rubber-faced comedian Jim Carrey.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're welcome. Has been hanging out with the still-available Nicole Kidman. And MSNBC gossip page says they've been canoodling in public.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
Not for him.
Don't forget he had Renee Zellweger for a while.
Yeah, but
he must do that whole thing you do. That whole, you know.
Yeah, like you.
That whole, you know.
Yeah.
Sad clown thing.
Yeah, well, it works for me, I guess. It just pisses me off that he's got Nicole Kidman.
Rightly so.
That bugs me.
It's wrong. Kidman's spokeswoman insists it was just a business dinner. Witnesses say no way. The restaurant has no comment.
I'm a sad clown, Doc.
And you picture him bone on her.
Oh, no, I don't even want to picture
that. That's like bone on bone.
The flu-like disease known as SARS is causing a lot of talk in Chinatown.
You don't want to break up that relationship. You make her watch that movie, The Majestic.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll kill it.
The SARS causing a lot of talk in Chinatown. Chinatown's all over the country, in fact. There they are talking now in Washington and New York and Boston and San Francisco. Rumors running rampant. The internet's been buzzing with word that SARS had reared its ugly head in Chinese restaurants in Boston and New York. Those rumors are totally false. But as tourists and diners stay away from these so-called Chinatowns, stores and restaurants there have started handing out leaflets to try to combat the rumors.
What the hell, brothers? Chinks in the house!
But even Chinese Americans who work in these areas can be seen wearing face masks. Quoting one Chinatown businessman, everyone's afraid to come down to Chinatown.
What the hell, brothers? Chinks in the house!
And Winona Ryder got a compliment from the judge this week for finishing her 480 hours of community service work.
Hey, it's a lady.
That was just part of her sentence for stealing stuff from a she store in Beverly Hills.
You're on board with her now, right? She's hot.
Winona?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very cute.
The judge is so pleased with the actress's cooperation, he told her she can go back to work if she can find work.
So am I.
And that she can even leave the country to do it if she needs to.
I'm pleased with her.
From our very short...
She pleases me greatly.
That pleases you greatly.
She pleases me. I'd like her to please me.
From our very short and very sweet department, MSNBC reports that Sean Connery is now doing commercials for a Japanese company that sells hams.
Konnichiwa.
This is Sean Connery. I'll just say right now, you're all full of crap. Stop wearing those stupid masks.
What up, my yellow brothers? Kinks in the house!
Take the masks off. That's the way to do it.
In sports.
To throw you out the window. Silly little masks. What about sports?
In sports, Sean, the University of Kansas has fired the athletic director who didn't get along with the basketball coach who led the Jayhawks to the Final Four.
Whatever you do, don't say faggot.
It's the first move in convincing Roy Williams to stay. The AD says he was canned because he refused to quit.
That's I'm tired of this North Carolina ass.
Yeah, he's a fag.
The Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight with a best of seven in each round, and Dale Jarrett's Winston Cup team has a new crew chief and a new manager. Finally,
Dale Jarrett, I think,
What number is he? Come on now, what number is he?
It's in the 80s, I believe he's a UPS guy, though.
Mm-hmm. I love dykes.
Finally, a guy who once ran for mayor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, has finally been arrested. It had to happen eventually. Paul Tay is a little strange. Lately, he's been riding his bicycle around town with a giant inflated male sex organ strapped to his back. Police tried to arrest him, but Paul's free speech rights kept getting in the way. But the other day, somebody swerved toward Paul's bicycle. This made Paul angry, so he threw a bottle at the motorist. And throwing a bottle in a moving vehicle is a felony, and wearing body armor while committing a felony is a felony. Paul is now in jail. No word on the fate of the giant artificial organ. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Yeah, we gotta go.
I don't want to.
Now let's quit, my children. Don't forget tomorrow, Mike's Mansion.
Come on down and join me.
Mm-hmm. Girls, girls, girls only. Gotta get at least semi-nude.
All shapes and sizes.
That's right.
All of them can apply. Only one will win.
The trip to Las Vegas, that's on tomorrow's episode. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 Oh, and the Brian Mitchell thing, why am I plugging this? It's in 5 minutes.
Right.
I'll tell you about it tomorrow.
Better hurry.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Right. Hey, Linus.
I did it on purpose.
Let me tell you about this blind kid I know.
Oh, no. What do you get for Christmas?
Cancer.
BM.
Peter J.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.